जय शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षील प्रभुपाद की जय नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौर भक्तवृंदकी श्री श्री राधाकृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंडगिरी गोवर्धानकी वृंदावन धामकी मायपुर धामकी मधुरपुरी धामकी जगन्नाथपुरी धामकी द्वारकापुरी धामकी गंगमाईकी यमुनमाईकी तुलसीदेवीकी भक्तिदेवीकी सामवेद भक्तवृंदकी गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namami Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदस् चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितगैदवोत्रवरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभि शुशोषुभि तल्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमाज्जुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः Mama Vajivichambhata Murare Madhurimna Kanikabhikabhikabhi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Srimad Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harigadod Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravindaparamanave Nama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashankham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vatalayesham Anisham Pradibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shyamaloyam Kumaraka Vedavedyaparam Brahma Bhasadam Puragomama Mogam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lengayade Girim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Nama Srimadi Radhikaye Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, chapter 19. Yo vidya shuddha sambannam atmavanna anumanikaha maya matramidam jnatva jnanam jamai sanyaseed jnanina tuhame veshta swartho hedushcha sammadam surgaischa vavargascha nanyortho madhyade priyam jnana vijnana samsiddha padam shrestam vidurmama jnani priyadamo domi jnanina aso bhivartimam Tapastirtam Jabodhanam Pavitrani Dharanicha Nalam Kurvandidam Siddhim Yajnanakalaya Krita Tasmat Jnanina Sahidam Jnatva Svalpanam Uddhava Jnana Vijnana Sampanno Bhajamam Bhakti Bhavata Jnana Vijnana Yajnanam Amishtvalpanam Alpani Sarva Yajnabadim Mam Vaisam Siddhim Munayogamen Tvayuddhava Shradiyastri Vidho Vikaram Mayandara Badinad Abavarga Yorian Janmada Yosayadami Davasikim Su Adyanda Yor Adasado Stitadeva Madhi Shri Uddhava Vajam Yanam Vishuddham Vibulam Yadhaidam Vairagya Vijnana Yudham Puranam Akhyahi Vishveshwara Vishwamurte Tol Bhakti Yogan Jamahad Vimargyam Tabatrayana Vihadasya Khore Samdapyamana Sibavadhvanisha Pashya Vinanya Charanam Tavangli Dundwada Batra Damrda Abhivarshal Dashtam Janam Sampadidam Bilesmin Kalahina Shudra Sukhe Rutarsham Samudharainam Kabayabavargir Vajobi Asin Jamahanubhava Shri Bhagavanu Ajam Itamedal Purara Ajabhishmam Dharma Pradam Varam Ajada Shatru Paprachya Sarvesham No Anishranudam Nivrte Bharade Yudhe Sukhrun Nithana Vikvala Shrutva Dharman Bahun Paschan Moksha Dharman Prachyadam Tanahande Abhidasyami Deva Bradamukha Shrudan Jnana Vairagya Vijnanam Shraddha Bhakti Babram Hidan Navigadasha Panjatrin Bhavan Bhudeshu Yenavai Ikshida Athegam Apyashuta Jnanam Manishchidam Eda Deva Hi Vijnanam Natathegena Yena Yalasti Tulpatya Payan Pashir Bhavanam Trigunal Manam Adavad Denja Madhyanja Srajjal Srajjam Yidanyoyad Punastal Pradisam Krame Yakshishyeda Tadevasal So, we saw last Sunday, the Krishna is talking to Uddhava about the different tattvams, isn't it? 24 tattvams he spoke about. And we also saw there that to Krishna mentions there that after the Krishna's name as Shesha, Shishyade Shesha Samyaga. Yesterday also we discussed that. That Krishna's name is Shesha. Shesha has come because after rejecting everything, including the mind, the body, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, everything, what is left behind is the soul. And Krishna is given that name, Shesha, what remains, which is the soul. Shishya, Shesha Samyaha. Shesha Samyaha. So, what remains ultimately, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. So, in the Vedic system, they have given importance to, we mentioned about this last time also. In this particular chapter, Uddhava talks about 28 tattvam, 28 principles, isn't it? That is the five material elements, and then Prakriti, material nature, Purusha, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Tanmatra, total nine. And five senses of knowledge and five senses of action and the mind. Altogether, 28 tattvam Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in this particular chapter. Later on, you will see there, Krishna also talks about the another side, another tattvam that is being spoken. In the sense that all these tattvam is functioning because there is a source behind everything which is operating them. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, that source is more important. Not the tattvam is important. Tattvam has no meaning practically in the sense that tattvam is there because the source is there. Source is more important. As I mentioned last Sunday also, that unlike the modern science, Veda's view of looking at things is different. Modern science to tend to break up everything and come to the find out very minutely study everything and come to a deep level understanding of every minute thing. Vedas are saying that the parts that has come from the source are not important. Forget about the parts, the source is important. Study the source, going after the source. So, in other words, bringing all the parts together and making into one and studying that source is important from the Vedanta philosophy. From the Vedanta point of view, that's more important. Because they have already found out that if you continue to study this world in a detailed way, it is never ending. One reason, first of all, it is the variations, the way the Maya present the whole world to us is so variegatedness there. Plus, Maya continuously changes everything. The very creation itself is changing, parinamam. Parinamam means constant change that is happening in the material nature. Because the change is happening in the material nature, whatever theory you produce today about this world may not last very long. It can change again. It can again change. That's why it is so important to understand the principle on which the Vedic solution for the problem is, that they say that reject everything. They are not important. They are not important. They come from one source. Study the source. Try to understand the source and you will find the answer. This is called Avibhakta Jnanam. That's what Krishna is saying there in those two verses, 15 and 16. If you look, you will see there that that he mentions there. Yadadeva hi vijnanam nathaigena yenayen stitulpati payal pashyet bhavanam trigunalpanam. Krishna is saying there that when you start seeing them, yadadeva hi vijnanam nathaigena yenayen, they are not separate, all these studying individual items in this world. Like in the medicine, also they do that, isn't it? They break up the body into so many different departments of knowledge. And they are teaching as though the body has so many, they are all independent in that way. That is not accepted from the Vedic point of view, because the body is functioning because the soul is inside. It's the soul that is keeping all the five different kinds of air in the body, panchapranan, upapranan also there. and then the senses are functioning. So if the soul is properly situated, the body you can't fix to any level. Ultimately it's meant to go, and no matter how hard you try to maintain it, it's not going to stay. That is the principle. So there is no point in wasting a lot of time on this material body. It has its limitations, and it will show its true colors when the time is right. Material nature does that. So 16th verse, he says, Adavandeja madhyam jam srijya srijyam yada invayal punastad pradisam grame yakshishyeta tadeva sat. So here he mentions there, in the beginning and in the end, Adav andeja madhyam cha srijyal srijyam yada invayal. Krishna says, then although different ways it is manifesting here, but instead of looking into the variations in the creation, trying to see that what Krishna calls it as sujims yada anuyal. Anuyal means that without making that separation from the source. And if you start seeing like that, that is vijnanam, he says. Because he mentioned the reason for that is punastat pratisam krami ekshishyet tadeva sat. That means that because of the material nature, it's constantly changing. The changes that's happening in the material nature, therefore, none of them is going to stay as they are. So what is the point in studying them in that way? That is why. So they are important. We will look at those verses a little bit more. Why Krishna is speaking in this way. So we'll see there that rejecting everything, that means our gross body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, continuously rejecting them, and behind that thing, what is the source which is giving the power to function to all these different elements, Krishna gives, that is more important. In fact, you can see that in the Dhruva's prayers also. When Dhruva prayed to Krishna, when he saw Krishna first time, Dhruva says to Krishna, Yonda pravishyamama vajam imam prasuptam sanjeevayadi agila shakti dharya sodhamnam anyam shahasta jaranam shravanam togadin prananamo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. He mentions to, he says to Krishna that Yonda pravishyamama vajam imam prasuptam, that by whose presence, referring to the soul, in other words Krishna, by whose presence inside me I am able to speak. Sanjeevayadi agila shaktidharya sudhamnam, that source of power which is for every living entity to function in this world. Anyamsha hasta charana shravanam togadin, the hands and the legs and hearing power, all kinds of the same energy is manifesting through the eyes in the form of seeing, hearing through the ears in the form of hearing. The energy is the same, but only thing is it's manifesting through different senses in different ways. And that is more a subtle understanding of the way body functions. We think that eyes are independent, ears are independent, nose is independent, touch, sense of touch is independent. It is not independent. What point is, anyamsta hasta charana shravanam togadin, the ability to walk, the ability to do things with the hand, hastam, charanam, ability to hear, the power for all this, the source is the same. Just like you can see, they give the comparison like electricity comes through the lights, you get power, electrical power. It goes to the fridge for cooling. It goes through the heater to heat. But electricity is the same. In a similar way, and similarly, the same electricity operates washing machine, electricity operates so many different kinds of equipments, isn't it? In the same way, the same soul inside, it's operating the eye, it's making the eyes to function, making the ears to hear, and although they all have different functions, the power source behind it is one and the same. That's most important. That's what Krishna is saying there. That eda devi vijnanam, that is the knowledge. He says, don't worry about this, which way is coming out. Go back to the source and start inquiring about that source. That's what Dhruva did. Dhruva said that same thing to Krishna. Anyamsta hastacharanam sharanam tugadin pranan namo bhagavade. That pranan, that energy, namo bhagavade purushayatubhyam. I pray my obeisances to that supreme truth. He mentioned like that, isn't it? So everything is, when after rejecting everything, Nisheda Siddhi, Pipalayana Maharshi said that, Nisheda Siddhi. Nisheda Siddhi means, Nisheda means rejecting everything and what is remaining at the end. So at one point you can't reject it anymore because it is that source that gives you the strength even to reject something. You want to reject something, you need some power. So that source is that power which is refers to as that is what it mentions here, that to be focused on that is called Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means that. Shravanam mananam Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is that process. So we stay, now we are inside this body, we sit here and we say that everything outside this body is Drishyam. What we see is Drishyam. It's not me. Including the body is Drishyam. Because why it's Drishyam? The nature of Drishyam, what is seen, seer and the seen. The seen, the nature is continuously changing. That is the problem with the... So seer is not changing. Seen is always changing. Seer is not changing. Seen is always changing. So... So, is the mind Drishyam? Mind is also Drishyam because that's also changing. That's also not me. Buddhi is also Drishyam because sometimes intelligence can go wrong and that's also changing. That's also not me. Like this, if you reject everything, neither body, the mind, the intelligence, similarly the ego, the senses, everything, ultimately in your extreme subtle level, there is... all your experiences, what you have in this world, if you reject all that, finally something, a consciousness or awareness that remains, which you cannot reject. Because that awareness is always complete and it always remains, isn't it, of your own existence. That awareness is only the symptom of the soul. That's why the awareness is important. Bodham, avabodham, it is called. That avabodham is important because it is only that avabodham that is present right here for us to experience the soul. Because that is not changing under any circumstances. Body changes, mind changes, intelligence changes, everything changes. But avabodham, awareness never changes. That's why sandrananda avabodhalmakam, avabodhalmakam it is. It is avabodham. That bodham is given so much importance. That's why we say consciousness is Brahman. Isn't it? Prajnanam Brahma. This has come from that. Out of the four Mahavakyams, the first one is Prajnanam Brahma. So why Prajnanam Brahma? Why not something else? Prajnanam Brahma. Why? Prajnanam is the only thing that is the presence of Brahma in this world. We can practically tangible to prove presence of Brahma. Because Brahma doesn't have anything that doesn't change, which never experiences any modifications or change. It stays the same from beginning to end and even after leaving the body. And throughout in us, where if you study ourselves, you can see it is that consciousness that remains forever without any change. And that is why prajna is given so important. Prajnanam Brahma, that has come from that. And so here... We have seen in the 16th verse, and that is what Krishna is referring to there. Adavandejam adjejam srijyal srijyam yadanvayan punastal pradisankramya yachisheda tadevasatam. So, that one is called vijnanam. Vijnanam, Krishna says there. So, because when everything is changing in this world, everything is changing in this world, is it not? Everything is changing in this world. The material elements are changing. The another changes means that the six kinds of changes, Shad Vigaram, Shad Parinam, they call it. That means it takes birth, it grows for some time, it may have byproducts, it remains for some time, then starts a decay, deterioration, and eventually death. These six kinds of things happens to everything in this creation. and including our body also, and the mind and the intelligence. So, but something which does not change under all circumstances, that is what Krishna says here, that this particular one doesn't change. This particular one doesn't change at all under all circumstances. That is the important thing. So, here, so, in the body, if you look, you'll see there is changes in happening in different ways. Balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam, isn't it? That means childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age. These changes happens in the body. Balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam. That is constantly changing the body all the time. Then we have got Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the three states. That's also a change that's happening inside this body. Apart from the changes that's happening inside the mind, inside the mind. So these changes, what is constantly happening, Anvayar, when all these changes are happening, there's something inside which is not changing. This is to be thought about very much, because that's the only way you will understand the soul. You will have some understanding of the soul inside. So, in that soul, all these changes have no impact. Body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, everything is changing, but the soul is unchanging behind everything. So, it is called in Shastram as Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means the basic principle behind everything. If it is there, everything else is there. That means if this basis, Adhishthanam, is there, mind is there, body is there, intelligence is there, ego is there. If it is not there, nothing is there. See that? If it is there, everything is there. If it's not there, nothing is there. They are dependent on that. He can stay without the help of others. Others can't stay without his help. See that relationship with the soul and the other things. Soul is there, body is there, mind is there, intelligence is there, ego is there, senses are there, everything is there. So, when soul is there, they are all there. When the soul is not there, none of them are there. Soul can stay on its own without them. They cannot stay without the soul. Because if the soul isn't there, there is no mind, there is no intelligence. What will you say intelligence then? Because nothing is functioning then, isn't it? So this is called in the Bhagavatam, you will see this, Anyoya Vedregam. Anvayam Vedregam, it is called like that. That's why in the beginning, in the first verse itself, Janmadese do Anvayad, Anvayad, Idaradas Chateshu. That Anvaya Vedregam is the process of Srimad Bhagavatam. So from beginning to end, this process is followed in the Bhagavatam. It is called a Dasha Sutram. Dasha Sutram means, if you take that first verse in the Bhagavatam and if you break it up, it's 10 parts in it. In that first verse, Janmadhyasedo Invayad Idaradas Chartesh Abhijnasuran. They break it up like this, that Janmadhyasedaha, the first part. Second part, Anvayad Idaradascha. Third one, Arteshu Abhijnaha. Fourth one is Surad. It's just word breaking up of that verse. Arteshu Abhijnaha, Surad. Then, Tene Brahmahada Adikavaye. Then the next one, Muhyandiyat Suraya. Then, Tejo Vairimritham Yatha Vinimayaha. Yatra Trisargo Mrishaha. ധാംനാസ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം. ആൻഡ് ഫൈനലി സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. സോ ഇൻ ഭാഗവതം ഓൾ ദീസ് ടെൻ തിങ്സ് വിൽ ബി ടേക്കൺ സെപ്പറേറ്റ്ലി ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ്. ദ ടോപ്പിക് ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ദീസ് ആർ ദ സട്ടിൽ സൈഡ് ഓഫ് ദ ഭാഗവതം. ഹൗ ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ഫസ്റ്റ് വേഴ്സ്, ദാറ്റ് ഫസ്റ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഈസ് സോ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് ഇൻ ദ ഭാഗവതം. That whatever Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to say, he has put that into then in one verse in the beginning, expanded that in the remaining Srimad Bhagavatam, and finally said it is all Satyam Param Dhimahi, Satyam Param Dhimahi, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So whole Srimad Bhagavatam is in that verse, in that first verse. If you break it up and study that verse properly, you will know what the sages were communicating through that. What it says is there that whatever prakriya, whatever activities that is going on, and everything is dependent on that one object, and that is why in that verse you can see that word swarad, swarad. Why swarad? He's fully independent. That's why he's swarad. Swarad means completely independent. Because it is independent, his independent nature is like this. Others have to follow him, and he doesn't follow anyone. He is completely independent. So that swarad, that vastu, he illuminates everything. He illuminates. Illuminates means he is the source of energy for everything else. Functions because of their power from coming from him. So why did they say like that? Because this spiritual realization is not something you have to acquire from outside. This is the point there. That it is not a technique or going to get somewhere or do something and get it. In other words, that illuminating effulgent thing, what is inside in all of us, constantly present there, continuously present there, and this Bhagavatam is only trying to show that vastu inside from different angles. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is doing actually. When you start studying Bhagavatam and you start thinking about it, you will get to understand these things. That what Bhagavatam is doing is that vastu inside, what is inside every one of us, which is come out and manifested in the form of the world, which is coming out through all the senses, mind, intelligence and ego, but the source, he remains completely unaffected by everything inside every one of us. Vastu. Vastu remains inside. And you can't get him from outside looking for anywhere. You have to go back to him where he is present. And that's where you will find him. And what Bhagavatam is doing is, through different devotees' realizations, again they are all taking us back to the same source. Like Dhruva did, Prahlada says the same thing, isn't it? If you study Prahlada's Stuti, you will notice Prahlada says, what does he say? Body has six different kinds of changes. And different things talking about the soul, he says about 12 different changes about the soul. He says there, soul unaffected by everything. These things are happening in the body, in the soul nothing is happening. You will see there is a verse there, if you want to look into the seventh canto, you will see there. Prahlad is talking about the same thing. So what is Bhagavatam doing actually? Bhagavatam is doing this. That vastu inside us, which is very much hiding behind everything, whose presence we are conscious of through our consciousness or awareness, that vastu inside, you are able to contact him only through the consciousness, prajna. Prajna is the only word for that. Prajnanam Brahmam. But that vastu has come in the form of this world, manifested in front of us. And not only that, even it is keeping this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything able to operate in these conditions, in different conditions. But vastu is inside somewhere hiding there. Aham asmi, what we say is that thing, that vastu inside. So what Srimad Bhagavatam is doing is that taking our attention away from the world in a proper way, in the sense that, look, the source is somewhere else hiding. Then go back to that source and find him. If you find him and realize him, you will realize everything. Yal vijnanarthe sarva vijnanam bhavandi. This is where that Upanishad statement coming from. Tad vijnanarthi sarva vijnanam bhavandi. If you have understood the soul, you have understood everything else. Because they have all come from the soul, from the same souls. So from different angles, in different ways, Srimad Bhagavatam is showing to us the reality behind everything, the souls, from where everything is coming. That it is not creating anything new. And only what it does is, from one side or the other side, it is pointing us out to that particular source. Again and again, look into that source, where it's coming from. In all these glorifications in the Bhagavatam, Muchukunda Stuti, Ambarish Maharaj's glorifications, and Kavi Maharshi's glorifications, if you look all that, you will see they are always trying to take you to the source, to tell us that this is where it's all coming from. To make us aware, otherwise how will our attention move to the soul? We don't even know anything about the soul. In a very subtle level, all we know about it is that we are conscious entity. Consciousness is there. That's the only proof of the presence of the soul. So, that is why yesterday, if you remember, that we talked about this, that between the deep sleep state and the waking state, His presence is there. We talked about that example, that you go to sleep and kept an alarm to wake up at say 5 o'clock or so in the morning, and in the middle of the night you heard some sound and got up, say about 2 o'clock or so, you got up and suddenly you are still in a deep sleep state at that time, but you looked at the watch and thought it's only 2 o'clock. And you went back to sleep again. Now, Bhagavatam is trying to give us some hint, how to look for Him. Where should you look for the soul? Soul we are talking about, isn't it? So Bhagavatam's point is, when you went back to sleep, who made that decision? Instead of going to Jagrat, decided to go back to deep sleep. Who made that decision? That decision was made by the soul, not by the mind, not by the intelligence. Think about this when you have time. And you will find it. Answer is right. It requires a little bit of, don't accept because I have said like this, no, don't take it like that. Think yourself that when you are slept for a few hours, very tired, you went to sleep and you woke up in the middle and then suddenly you looked into the watch and you said that, oh, it's only 2 o'clock, it's not 5 o'clock, I still have another 3 hours to sleep, isn't it? That decision was not made by the mind, not made by the intelligence. It was you shouldn't think sleeping is a lousy business. It's not. As I mentioned so many times, based on Sushupti, 3 Upanishads are compiled based on this. Such a science it is, this deep sleep state. So that is one place where you can easily locate the presence of the soul. Now, if you are not getting, if you reflect on it, you will get it eventually. That is where it's coming from. Because at that point, there is no chittavritti inside. Mind has not popped up yet. All at that point, what's happening is that you got disturbed in the sleep. From the deep sleep, you are forced to come out from there and you want to go back to deep sleep. False ego has not come out. Mind has not started functioning yet. It is in a very deep sleep you are at that point. That because switching on from deep sleep to Jagrat or wakened state is not that easy. It takes a little time also. But immediately there was a decision made straight away, without the mind getting involved, intelligence getting involved, that you should go back to sleep, not to wakened state. And that is the soul. That is the soul. That's what we read yesterday, remember? In the 7th canto, that verse which was spoken by Sri Narada Maharshi to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He is telling him, Prahlada's in the Sadhachara Bodham, that is the 13th chapter in the 7th canto, Supta Prabhodaya, that verse. So that is one instance. Then another instance they are talking about is between 2 chittavritti, how he comes in. It is based on this, in Karnamrutam there is a verse there, Vilumangalam's famous Karnamrutam. Anganam, Anganam, Andare, Madhavam, 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 Chandare, Anganam. Anganam, Anganam, Andare, Madhavam. Gopis are considered to be the Chittavritti. the different thoughts, waves, or the gopis. In between, Krishna comes. And that is why in the Rasa dance, when they saw Krishna, Gopi, Krishna, Gopi, between two gopis there is Krishna. Between two gopis there is Krishna. So the presence of the soul between two chittavritti is that. Presence of the soul between two thought waves. That is that soul. So we give importance to the gopi, we don't give importance to Krishna in the middle. That is the problem. We didn't give attention to him. So, for example, I got angry and after a while anger has gone. But when the anger came and anger left, in between something has happened. I didn't take notice of it. What made the anger to go? Why did not stay? Suddenly the anger came and the anger left afterwards. Isn't it? Anger left. So, is it empty there or in between? Krishna says, I am that in between. I came and moved that anger. That is why it's going. Not only anger, all other emotions the same thing. Whether it's lust, anger, greed, envy. It comes and goes, isn't it? Doesn't stay. Why doesn't stay? Because Krishna says, move away now. I am in there. He breaks that connection. Suddenly the anger goes. But we don't give attention to Krishna, we give attention to the anger. That's where the problem is. So, so that is why Krishna says here, so the thought waves are coming, but where are they coming? Where are these thought waves coming? It's coming in the soul. It doesn't affect the soul, but in the presence of the soul they come. The presence of the soul, they come. Similarly, pride. Ego, all these things, they keep coming, going, isn't it? And in the same way, the soul, the sleep, also the same way it happens. But if you ask the question, are they all present in the soul? No, they're not present in the soul. When the soul is present, all these thought waves can come and they will go. They'll come and go. In between, just like we're talking about the screen and the cinema, isn't it? Cinema is going on, but screen is unaffected. Tragedy, comedy, rain, fire, and war, so many things. Whatever happened, everything, the screen is unaffected, isn't it? Nothing happens in the screen. Same way. Very similar to that. Very similar to that. So, let any thought comes, and let anything come in the mind. Any thoughts come to the mind. And let any change happen in the body, always to remember that behind all these things, there is that consciousness, awareness, bodham is present there, which is unaffected by anything. So, we talked about this before also. We are concerned about anger. We are concerned about lust, anger, greed, and so many things. This is the mistake. We give attention to that. Anger may come. But when all this comes, remember that story I mentioned, all the things are happening. What is the difference between a self-realized soul and or a pure devotee and an ordinary person? They also get angry. Realized souls also can get angry. But when they get angry, the difference is, when the anger comes, they know that it is not happening in the soul, it's happening in the nature. In this Svabhavam, Prakriti. Material nature it is happening, not in me. They are able to separate it out like that. What happens to us? We identify with that anger completely, completely forgetting that we are different than the anger. We are not affected by the anger. The soul can, nothing can touch the soul. No anger, no lust, no greed, nothing can touch the anger. So, this technique by, not technique, this knowledge by which that this way the soul remains in every body, completely unaffected by that, and it is staying in that state and constantly identifying with that is called mananam. It's another side of mananam, mananam process. This is mananam. Mananam is this, not what is written in the books and studying that and reflecting on that. This activity. Yesterday we talked about Sushupti, how Mananam works with Sushupti. Similarly, this is the another side of Mananam. These are the things which are taken seriously in the Mananam process. So when you give attention to that, what happens is that you start realizing that the soul is complete. Purnada, Purnatvam. Purnatvam means perfection is there in the soul. We are not given attention to it. That is why we are feeling so affected by anger, so affected by the emotions, affected by different kinds of emotions. Many, many realized people who have gone beyond all these things, they are completely unaffected by any changes that's happening in the nature. That's their success. Whatever happens in the nature does not affect them. That's happening in the nature, nothing happens happening in me. This full awareness is always in them. Therefore, they never get disturbed over it. So, and that perfection in the soul, you don't have to bring it from outside. It's already there. This is also another important thing. Perfection in the soul is completely there. It doesn't have to be brought from outside, Nityasiddham. And you cannot create that perfection. Remember that verse Krishna spoke about, Nasado Vidyade Bhavo. That's where it's coming from. The soul is Sat. Sat is perfect. And you don't have to bring anything from outside to make it perfect. It's already perfect. And Asat is always imperfect. No matter how hard you try to make it imperfect, it won't become perfect. All these are connected each other. This Mananam process, when you start giving attention to the soul, this is how you approach the soul. That you are perfect, soul is perfect. And I am that soul, I have nothing to do with this. Changing body, changing mind, changing intelligence, changing ego. Changing is happening in the nature, in Swabhavam, not in the Swarupam. In Swarupam, there cannot be any change. Swarupam is always the same. It cannot be created, it cannot be purified, it cannot be reached by any Utpadyam, Apyam, Samskaryam, Vaigaryam. It doesn't transform everything. Always in a perfect state. Always in a perfect state. So, and that is there in everybody all time. But only thing is, our attention, Shraddha has not fallen on that. Shraddha is not there. Our Shraddha, what is happening now, is distributed all over the other objects in this world. Where Shraddha should go, Shraddha is not going there. But Shraddha has gone to so many other places. So here, Krishna says here, though, so when we start seeing that he who is present, that is why he says here, that verse, that is what that attention falling on the soul. Sthiti ulpatyapayan pashyel bhavanam trigunalmanam. 15th verse. That's what it is talking about. That verse is the expansion of that verse, or the purport or the detail of that verse is this. That the soul who is present inside every one of us, which is perfect, which doesn't require any perfection from our side. It's already perfect inside everyone. Edadevahi vijnanam, Krishna is saying. That knowing that, and if your attention is on the soul, then all other things, what's happening in the prakriti, material nature, you will keep it aside. Because it's not happening in you, it's happening in the prakriti, in the material nature. Stitulpatyal pashyet edu. So, Krishna says, Sthiti ulpatya pashyet, isn't it? Sthiti ulpatyapayan pashyet bhavanam trigunalmanam. By whose presence, only due to whose presence, you are conscious of everything else in this creation. Again, the same problem. That we are seeing the creation. And we are giving our attention to this creation, thinking that this creation is so important. Isn't it? Sthiti ulpatyaya pashyet bhavanam trigunalmanam. Krishna is saying here that because he is there, you are aware of the creation. Isn't it? Only his presence is making you aware of the creation. If he isn't there, where is the creation? Creation doesn't exist.
So attention is where we put our attention is important. If you put all your attention in the created drishyam, then you are lost. If you take your attention to drik, drik is important, drishyam is not important. In other words, so and it is experience of that drik is what is called samadhi state. Samadhi state. Samadhi means that thing which comes in between the two chittavritti also is also a samadhi state. So it is actually it is not a state. Vedantis from the Vedanta point of view, Vedantam and Yogam has a little yoga means Ashtanga Yogam. Patanjali is Ashtanga Yogam. Vedavyasa Maharshi is Vedantam. Isn't it? These are the two different processes, important processes. Patanjali Maharshi gave us Ashtanga Yoga process. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Vedavyasa Maharshi gave us Brahma Sutram. Vedanta Sutram. So Vedanta Sutram and Yoga Sutram, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram and Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram, they disagree on this because Yoga Sutram says that it is a Yoga Sthiti, Samadhi Sthiti. Now Vedavyasa Maharshi differs from Patanjali on that, on this understanding that between the two Chittavritti what you are experiencing, that is Samadhi Sthiti according to Jnana Margam, according to Jnana Margam. So, kalpa tattvaatma bhodameva iha sarvanganam sarvangana bhavaha bhokte samadhi shabdena nadutvashneem avasthidihi. That realization of the self inside, that itself is samadhi state. So, in the commentaries on the Vedanta Sutram, it is always spoken that samadhi state is that soul, real identification with the soul, self-realized state. So, samadhi means soul. So, which is considered as a avastha. Yoga Patanjali considered that as a avastha. But when you comes to Jnana Margam, that is our identity. Our identity. Identity is that, is the soul. Identity is the soul. So, without the influence of any of these chittavritti, without being affected by that, and without being touched by the false ego, without being distracted by the chittavritti, what is happening inside, that pure consciousness which is always illuminating, that vastu, if you continuously experience that through your mananam process. That means for performing mananam, this is an important thing. Mananam is not something, because normally we are used to thinking about doing something with the mind, isn't it? But chittavritti has to stop to perform mananam. Chittavritti should not come. And similarly, not only chittavritti, the false ego should not be there. Because these things, two things, mind and the false ego, they create impurities in the mananam process. When you are engaged in mananam, the two things that create impurity there, one is the mind, which is chittavritti, and the other one is the false ego. These two things will interfere and it will completely pollute the whole thing. That's why our mananam process is not working. People ask this question, how do I do that? Because these two things are there, the mind and the ego. They interfere. Once they get in, then they won't let you have any proper mananam. Both these things has to stay away. And to how then you ask the question, how do I do that? Keep the mind and the ego away. That is where sadhana comes. Bhakti, that's the only way. There is no other way. Bhakti is there where it comes in. To, you see, we talked about this anushtanam before, isn't it? Regularly one has to perform that, no matter, because if you don't do that, there is no discipline in body or the mind. To bring some discipline into the body, into the mind, anushtanam is necessary. And that is why in the ancient times, they gave more importance to anushtanam. Other things will come naturally. If the proper anushtanam is there, in a natural way, these things will happen in a person. But what are we doing? Oh, we are all very pure devotees and we don't need anything. That's our mood. And that's where the problem is coming. And because if there is sufficient anushtanam, as I gave you the example before, people say, oh, I don't have any bad thoughts in my mind. I'm pure. I'm pure. You're not pure. Actually, the proof of your purity is that Krishna is saying there, if a person is really pure, he will have only one business in life, that is self-realization, nothing else. If he is doing that with full commitment and intensely searching for the truth or self-realization, it means he is pure. That's the sign of purity. Sign of purity. Not by declaring a statement that I am pure, I'll become pure. I won't become pure like that. Therefore, Shastram is saying minimize the vyavaharam in this world. If you increase the vyavaharam, where is the possibility? Vyavaharam actually is nothing but chitavritti, isn't it? Chitavritti increases means your vyavaharam increases. You can see big business people, how much they are absorbed in their business activities. They have no time to think. You give them a Bhagavad Gita, you'll put it in the shelf there. That's all. What is effect? But then we say, oh, if you keep one at home, it's enough. It's more than enough. It's not enough. You have to go. What Krishna is saying, we have to do it, isn't it? Otherwise, what's the point? So here, so Krishna is saying here, in that 16th verse, Ada vande jamadhyam jam srijyal srijyam yad anviyad punastal pudisankramye yakshisheta tadevasad. Said Adi Madhyam Andam. In the beginning, in the middle and the end, know that very well, that thing remains in the beginning, the middle and the end. That is your Swarupam. That is your identity. So, he says here that if you have not understood all these things, please accept it. That's what Krishna's point. Just accept it. There's nothing you can do. That I am that thing. Which one? What Krishna is saying here? Ed and Ada Vande Jamadhyamcha Srijyal Srijyam Tadanyuyad Punastal Pratisamkrami Yakshisheda Tadeva Sat. There's nothing we can do about it. That's what Krishna is saying. That if you don't understand it, but through Vijaram or through Mananam, through Nididhyasanam, if you can get hold of that and get yourself established in that, it's very good. But if you can't do that, Krishna says, at least accept it now. Without questioning anymore, am I this or am I that? That is all what we are. That's the point. So, I'm not this shariram or material body, the mind is there, but none of them is me. I am that pure chit-shakti, chit-vastu. And shandi is my swarupam. Birth and death, none of them is actually affecting me. These are all part of that understanding. And I am pure spirit. Aham brahmasmi. And just like the sky, I am pure. The sky is pure. In that sky, it's an example only to explain that further. The clouds are coming in the sky. The darkness is coming in the sky. The light is coming in the sky. The dust is coming in the sky. But sky is not affected by any of that. They come and they go, isn't it? So, just like if there is a pot, there is sky inside the pot, outside the pot. When the pot breaks, the sky inside and the outside is one and the same sky. They are not two different sky. Similarly, that this sat, what Krishna calls it, tadeva sat, he says, isn't it? That sat inside is not affected by, just like the pot has not affected the sky. Pot was there, but when the pot was there, you said the sky inside the pot, outside the pot. When the pot broke up, the sky is the same. There is no two different sky then, isn't it? Similarly, that the sat inside us, it is not affected by the its existence or its eternal nature is not affected by the body, not affected by the mind, not affected by the ego. And none of them can touch that. This is the best example in the Vedantam, the sky. There is a pot, earthen pot. Ghadagasham, Mathagasham it is called. Ghadam is pot, Matham is the big thing. We'll come to that later. When they broke the pot, there is sky inside before, there was sky outside. When you broke the pot, the sky is the same. Inside pot, outside pot, it's the same. Similarly, Although you have created the pot didn't have any impact on the sky inside. It is still the sky. Similarly, although this pot has been created around the sky inside the soul, but the sky inside is unaffected. As soon as this pot breaks up, the sky inside becomes one with the sky outside. You remember this? When they spoke to Parikshit, this is the last sentence what Sukadeva Goswami told him. Ghatakasham, Mathakasham. If you can look into the 12th canto, you will see there this statement, Ghatakasham and Mathakasham, spoken there. To make Parikshit understand that he is not different than the sky, from that sky. To the oneness of that sky, he wanted to explain to him. If you look in the 5th chapter, you will see there, 5th verse, 5th chapter. Gadhe bhinne yathakasham agashasya adhyada puram evam dehe mrido mride jivo brahma sambadhyade punah. Gadhe bhinne yathakasham agashasya adhyada puram. Gadhe bhinne yathakasham agashasya adhyada puram evam dehe mride jivo brahma sambadhyade punah. He says here, Gadham is a upadhi. That is a word in the Shastra, upadhi. Gadha means the pot. Earthen pot is a upadhi for the sky. Similarly, upadhi for the soul is this body, mind, intelligence, ego. These are all upadhi. When upadhi will die one day, upadhi cannot stay because upadhi is a part of prakriti, material nature. When upadhi breaks up, the one inside, the sattva, what is inside? Evam dehe mrde jivo brahma sambadhyade punam. Because upadhi, this body, when it gets destroyed, what happens to the jiva? It becomes brahmam. Becomes brahmam. So this example is famous in the Vedantam of this pot, earthen pot, and comparison with the body. It's the closest example that they could give it to us to tell us that there's not much difference. Sky is unaffected by all the impurities that's coming. The clouds, the darkness, the light, the dust, everything that comes in the sky and goes away. Sky is unaffected by that. For our senses, we think that it has changed, isn't it? When you look at the sun or the sky, you say, oh, it's full, it's cloudy. It's cloudy, we say. But sky is not affected by that. Clouds will come and go. Similarly, chittavritti also inside, which is the mind, it comes and goes. It comes and goes. Inside that person, the soul inside, he is not affected by anything what is happening there. So, there, what is present there is pure consciousness, prajna. Prajna, that is what is present there. And that is what is called bodham, avabodham. Various words, pratyavijna, we call it all different names in different times according to the... In different glorifications, they have used different words. So, in other words, every devotee has seen that in different ways, realized it. But what they have noticed, these characteristics are the same. Why? The person inside, Atma, there is no vichiti in them. Vichiti means no interruptions there. Nobody is able to influence there. Go inside and change the nature of the soul. Nature of the soul remains the same, eternal, blissful knowledge, unaffected by anything. It is inside. So avichinya prajna, they call it. Avichinya means uninterrupted prajna, consciousness, all the time. And that is our identity. That is our identity. And that is what we are. Shanti, Anandam, eternal, blissful knowledge, all that is the identification with that. And that me, inside like that, has no death. There is no death for that. And there is no fault there. There is no fault there either. No fault in that place. So, question Krishna is saying, what's the point, what's the harm if you meditate on that identity? Is there any harm in that? Krishna is asking that question. That is your identity, Krishna is explaining. Why not think in those lines always and identify with that rather than identifying with the body or the mind or the intelligence? By practice, Krishna is saying it is possible to move away from the body. It is possible to move away from the body. It is not a technique actually. You must not think that it is a technique or it's a method or it's a process. No, it's not a technique. That is what it is. All it is what Jnanamargam, what is done is making you aware of what you are, what your original identity is there. So, at the moment, what are we doing? We are identifying with the body. So, instead of identifying with the body, Krishna is saying, identifying with the soul in this way, trying to understand where the difference is between the body and the soul. That's why he has explained it so much. And Shanti, Anandam is my Swarupam, is my identity. And nothing can actually affect me in any situations. If this understanding is deep-rooted inside a person, then when anger comes or lust comes or any other emotions comes, in any good or bad, anything happens, it won't have any catastrophic effect on the person. It will not create any damage to him. As long as this understanding is there. As long as this understanding is there. So Krishna says here, this is called, Krishna's words is jnanam, knowledge. If you remember, if you look into the Bhagavad Gita, there's the words, nahi jnanena sadrisham sadrisham pavitram ehvidyate kalena atmani vindati. I think it is in the fourth chapter. If you look into the fourth chapter, Krishna says, yes. Let me read that verse. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yogasam siddha kalena atmani vindati. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yogasam siddha kalena atmani vindati. Krishna is saying, in this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. How do you understand that? Krishna is saying, nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Now, how will you measure the purity of something? As far as knowledge is concerned, how will you say something is pure? You can say the milk is pure, it's not mixed with water. Or any matter, something relationship with matter, you can say something pure deshi ghee, we say, isn't it? Although it's not pure, still. On ghee you can say, if you look at the bottle, it says pure deshi ghee, they advertise like that. But I don't know what's gone into it, but that's another thing. So there you can say pure. You can say pure to so many other things. Water, we say, it's pure. It's not contaminated. So anything in relationship with matter, you can say it's pure. But when it comes to knowledge, how will you say it's pure? That's an important question. Krishna is saying here, nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Why does he say like that? It's an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga samsiddha kalena atmani vindati. Krishna is saying there, and one who has achieved this enjoys the self within himself in the due course of time. Very difficult, isn't it, to understand that. That in this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has achieved this enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. Now, that verse is what Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is saying here, this knowledge, what's that knowledge? The knowledge about the soul, who is not affected by anything. That is the purity of the soul. Not affected by any of the faults in us. In us means in the body, in the mind, in the intelligence, in the ego. We have so many faults in us, isn't it? We say we have done sinful things, we have done pious things. We say, I got angry, I got lust, I got anger, I got greed, I got envy. So many things I say, people say like this, isn't it? Krishna is saying here, if you have come to your realization to that state, that the soul inside is you, which can never be touched by anything, by any of these impurities, that knowledge is pure. That's what it means. Nahi jnanena sadrasham pavitra mehavidyade. Tatsvayam yoga samsiddha kalena atmani vindadi. These are all very subtle subjects in the Bhagavad Gita. Then if you want to experience that, because experiencing that is more important, that what is this knowledge Krishna is talking, stressing this about the knowledge in this way. We are knowledge. Knowledge form is the soul. Consciousness is Brahman. Isn't it? Prajnanam Brahman. Why is it Prajnanam Brahman? Because it is that knowledge is pure. Body is not pure. Mind is not pure. Intelligence is not pure. Ego is not pure. Everything else is impure. It will never be pure. That's another thing. None of these things will ever be pure. It's not possible. No matter how hard you try to make it pure, it will not be pure. But that thing inside, prajnanam, consciousness, is always pure. And when you come to realize that, prajnanam brahmam, or purity, that is what Krishna is saying here. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There's nothing as pure as that. Otherwise, if you read just translation, it is bewildering actually, what it is all referring to. Isn't it? See, when we speak of transcendental knowledge, Prabhupada is writing here, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing to so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage and knowledge is the cause of liberation. Knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service, and one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace are culminated in Krishna consciousness. This is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. From the bhakti point of view, that is how the purport is. The purport, what Prabhupada has written, is from the bhakti point of view. From bhakti side, that is how it has to be expressed. From the knowledge point of view, if we discuss that, this is how you have to see. From the jnanam side, because that particular chapter is specifically referring to transcendental knowledge. Isn't it? So, nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. And that is what Krishna is saying here also. The same thing to Uddhava. Uddhava, that knowledge, kalena atmani vindadi. Because if we perform the mananam in the way Krishna has spoken, and one after the other, we have taken out everything from inside, ultimately, this mananam process also will stop. Because mananam process continues, what will happen? That none of these faults in the body, mind, intelligence, ego is in me. This is that mananam, isn't it? When you continue doing that mananam, at one point the mananam will stop. Why? Because there is no mananam needed anymore. You have become in total identification with the self inside. When that happens, Krishna says here, just like the firewood, you burn, you light the wood and it starts cooking, and the wood completely burns and it turns into ashes. And when that happens, there is, the process is finished. Process is finished. There is absolute silence, shanti, or experience of that chit shakti, or nirvikalpam state. Nirvikalpam, you must have heard about this. Nirvikalpa samadhi, they call it. Nirvikalpa samadhi means when there is no vikalpam. Vikalpam means chittavritti. No chittavritti coming inside. All stopped completely. Which means there is no mind anymore existing at that time. And this is what Krishna says to Uddhava. Tushnim bhave nija sukhanubhavo niriha. When we remember that in the 13th chapter, Hamsagita, Krishna says, drishtim dada prati nivrti nivrta tishna tushnim bhave nija sukhanubhavo niriha. In the Hamsam, in the incarnation, when there's 4 or 5 verses, remember, that in self-realized state, drishtim dada prati nivrti nivrta tishna, that means you take your attention away from the world. Drishtim dada pradnivrti, and bring that attention onto the soul, which is what you are. Drishtim dada pradnivrti, what else? Nivrta trishna. All desires have also gone from inside. Desires have gone from inside. Attention has gone away from the world. Nija sukhanubhavo niriha. Constantly absorbed in the reality of the soul. Or in identification with the soul. So, and stay quiet after that. Tushnim bhave means completely absorbed in that soul, on that knowledge, be situated like that. And Krishna says here that even imagining that state with your own mind is a nectar. When you will get it, or what time, when you are going to get it, that's very difficult to say, because experiencing that itself is perfection, purnata, purnatam. So Krishna says here, if one continuously engage in satsangam and constantly hearing about this, eventually that purnatvam must happen. After hearing long time, it takes long time, because like we have identified with the body and the mind, also it took a long time. In several lifetimes we identified with the body and the mind. The result is that now we only know how to identify with the body and the mind. Similarly, to go back to the soul and to experience that blissfulness of the soul also takes time. So Krishna is instructing Uddhava, and we have to see these instructions from inside ourselves. Although Krishna is instructing Uddhava, we should not give too much importance that Krishna is instructing Uddhava. What is important is these instructions we have to see within ourselves, how it will affecting us in our own realization process. So, as we saw last time, Krishna spoke about this knowledge to him, and Uddhava says to Krishna again, please repeat this again. So, in the soul, body, mind, senses, these variations we are seeing in the soul. This is all happening in the soul. Why do we see this? Because of the presence of Maya. Presence of Maya. Because body, mind, intelligence is all property of Maya. Maya has created this, isn't it? You know that Prakriti, Prakriti is Maya, isn't it? Prakriti's product is Maya. Maya, Devi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. So Maya has caught us, the soul inside, and put this dress on that soul in the form of the body, mind, intelligence and ego, everything. So Krishna is saying here, it's all because of Maya, and in the beginning, in the middle and in the end, they don't exist. In the beginning and in the end, they don't exist, but in the middle, it comes out. Due to the that is what Maya does. Maya, in the beginning, in the soul, this covering wasn't there. This external covering wasn't there. In the end also, covering won't be there. Covering will be taken. But in the middle, this soul has this covering of the body, mind, intelligence and ego, everything. So in other words, Krishna says here, actually in Krishna only that these come up and they get destroyed. They get destroyed. Krishna is the soul, the basis of everything, isn't it? And in that soul, all these changes are happening in the middle. In the middle, all these things are happening. And when everything is destroyed, ultimately, finally, what remains is only the soul, Swarupam. Swarupam alone remains. So one who knows the beginning and the end, Krishna says to Uddhava, you know that in the beginning that alone existed, in the beginning end also you are alone, that alone exists, and because of that, whatever that has happened in the middle, it is not going to have any impact on you. Any impact on you. You are not going to get profited by anything or lose anything because of that. Because before the body, mind and the intelligence, mind and the senses, before that, he was there. The soul was there. And when they all get destroyed, he is still there. When they all destroyed, he is still there. So, so in the beginning, Ulpati means at the time of creation and at the time of destruction, and in the middle also, what actually remains is only him. This is important. He is there in the beginning and he is there at the end. Krishna is saying to us, in the middle also only it's him who is there, who the soul, prajnanam, consciousness is there. Why do you go and identify something else in the middle? That's the point Krishna is asking. In the beginning, you know very well that Krishna says that Adavandeja Madhyanja Srijyal Srijyam Idanvayat. That Adhyam and Andam, in the beginning and the end, it's only He is there. Everybody knows that. Krishna has also spoken that before. We also know that, isn't it? This body wasn't there in the beginning. And the body is not going to be there at the end either. Because awareness inside is telling us that we continue to exist. We never die. Everybody is conscious of that, isn't it? That is the reason why we are not frightened of death. Because inside He knows that we don't die. It's a very big secret it is. In spiritual life, we people say you'll die, you'll die. We don't die, that's a problem. If we say that we die, we die. But inside, that is why even after talking about death, disease, old age, everything, we are not frightened. Why? Because the one inside, He is telling us, you won't die. What will die is the body. At the same time, we are concerned about the body. That is the problem. Inside, the one inside is telling us, you don't die. But Krishna is saying here, that is why in the beginning He was there. The one inside, He was there. In the end also, He will be there. That's why we feel we don't die. But in the middle, all these things have come. Krishna is asking, why you go and identify with all that? Why have you taken your attention into that body? Whereas, in the beginning, He wasn't there. In the end, He is not going to be there. Shariram, body, mind, intelligence, these things are coming, going, coming, going. Why give attention to that? That is Krishna's question to Uddhava. He says here, so that is why so far all what we have spoken in the last 2-3 classes is all centered around that verse, 7th verse, which we have looked before. Remember, I mentioned that verse. Toyuddhavashrayadi yastrividho vikaro mayandara badadi yad abavargayor yad janmadayo sayadami tavatasya kim syum adhyandayor yadasadosti tadeva madhye. I mentioned that at that time that the verse is it's a whole Krishna consciousness is packaged in that verse well, very well. That's why that verse is important. To yuddhava ashrayati, why you are going and taking shelter of all this what you are not. Yes, trivitho vikaro, that is come from vikaram. Trivitho vikaram means rajasattvam, rajasa, tamasa, three modes of material nature. And maya andara apatati, maya has created that. Not abhavargayor yet, that is not helpful in the in the self-realization process. Janma adayo se yadami tavadasya kim syu adhyandayor yadasadosti tadeva madhyem. Although janmadayo se yadami tavadasya kim syu, although you see a creation, what is there, it has got a origin, beginning and an end. Janmadayo se yadami tavadasya kim syu adhyandayor yad asadosti asadosti tadeva madhye. But you can see it is asat, only in the middle it exists, it has no permanent existence. It is that verse what we have spoken so far in the so many classes. So keeping all these things as a logic, keeping all these things as a logic, one should know the tattvam of the soul, atma tattvam, atma vidya, brahma vidya, whatever way it is called. So normally there are four processes which Krishna is going to now talk about in the next few verses. He is saying there, Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam. Next verse, if you look, you will see. Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, Chatushtayam, Pramaneshu, Anavasthanat, Vigalpatsa, Virajyade. Vigalpatsa, Virajyade. So, Krishna is saying, Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam. Four processes. These four processes in Vedantam is important. This is the base on which all this knowledge is built up. All this knowledge is built up. Why these things are important? Because as far as life is concerned, bodily existence is concerned, from the spiritual position, it's a very simple definition. A constant experience of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Finished. That's all. That's all. In simple terms, if you define this life, in simple terms, it's only these three things, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. What else are we doing in this world? That's all, it's finished there, isn't it? Wake and stay, dream state, deep sleep. Wake and stay, dream state, deep sleep. So these three states coming and going, this is what life is in this world. We make a big thing out of it, saying that life is so complicated, or let me say, life is so demanding, or life, there's nothing is demanding. The only demand is this Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. Three things are happening there. So in order to know the soul behind all these things, which is, that's why in the next verse, Krishna is saying, there are four authorities, authority, pramanyam, it's called another word, or authority. They are Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam. What are they? Let's have a look at that. So, out of that, Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, Chatushtayam. One is direct experience. Suppose you have done direct experience. For example, death. Death is direct experience, isn't it? You can conclude that everybody is dying, and I will also die, you will also die. You don't require any education. You don't have to go to university to find out whether I'll die or not. If you just sit at home, you know you'll die one day. All of us will die. So death is something direct perception. You know by experience that everybody is dying in this world. I will also die, and I'll also go from here. So that is pratyaksham, direct experience. You don't require any shastram to tell you. You don't require any authorities in this world to tell you that you will die or I'll die in that way. So, Shruti Yukti Anubhavam. Anubhavam means experience, that we all have that. So, that Anubhavam, Anubhavam means the experience of that. What is that Yukti? Now, Krishna is using certain processes by which to make us more accessible to this understanding properly. Krishna is saying here that in the middle, in the beginning, in the middle and the end, that's what Krishna is used in the last verse, isn't it? In the last verse, he used a logic behind it. In the 16th verse, Adavandeja Madhyamja Srijyal Srijyam Yada Anuyal Punastat Pradisangrame Echikshyeda Tadeva Sat. In that verse, Krishna mentioned that Srijyal Srijyam Yada Anuyal. In other words, Srijyal Srijyam Yada Anuyal, Krishna is saying, Srijyal Srijyam. Srijyal Srijyam means all times, in all births, like we change this body, but this process continues in all births. What process? This changing thing. When you change the body, at least in this life I know, which is direct perception for me, that I was existing in the beginning, then I had this body, the body changed a lot, and then I left the body and gone. So if I look at this life itself, I can see, I was there in the beginning, I'm there at the end. In the middle, the body came, mind came, intelligence came, ego came, and they've all gone. So that is that example. Srijyal Srijyam Yadanyuyal. And this process continues in all birth. I'm going through different bodies, but what's happening? I'm there always in the middle, in the beginning. I'm there at the end also. But things are coming and going in the middle, which means the body. That's what we live in this creation, isn't it? Yes or not? Yeah. Sometimes I get a doubt whether you're still thinking. We are always there. We don't go. It's not easy to get rid of us. We will remain. But what's happening is, in the beginning I am there, in the beginning I am, at the end I am there, in the beginning the body has come and gone. Similarly, this is finished again, in the beginning I am there, the body comes and goes, and in the end I am still there. I am not changing. That is that principle Krishna is saying here, Srijyam Srijya Srijyam Yada Anuyad. So this, you can only know this happening in this life. In other lifetime, you have to accept by the authority. About after changing this body, it's the same thing happening in the next body, or if the same thing has happened in the previous body, that I can't prove it to you. Nobody can prove this to you. But in this life, what is happening, you can see yourself. Is it not? That doesn't require any support from Shastram. Simply by observing the body, you can see that you are there, then you grew up, became a little boy or a girl, and then grew up, young man or a woman, and then a middle-aged man or woman, and then an old man or old woman, and then eventually body has gone. So this change that has happened is in you. But where has it happened? It has happened in the body. In the beginning you were there, at the end you were there. But body has come and changed and gone. Mind has come, changed and gone. Intelligence has come and changed and gone. Everything has come, changed, gone. In the beginning you were there, at the end you were there. And how sure are you about that? Remember that example. The old man, he took his video when he was 1 year old for his birthday. And at the age of 90, he is looking at his video and he is saying how much he has changed. He is so sure about himself. He says, I have not changed. And he is showing the grandchildren that look at the granddad, how I was. Grandchildren are saying, oh, this is not you, granddad. It's somebody else. No, it's me, he says. But the children are not able to accept it. But the grandfather has no doubt that he is himself. That's him who has gone through. So that conviction, without any education, you got it. Where is it coming from? That's that awareness. I'm not changing. Sat. That sat energy is working like that. So what is happening in this lifetime, you can experience. That you can come with some inference, isn't it? That is also anumanam. That is called inference, anumanam. So this is Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam. Four processes. One is direct experience, Pratyaksham, as I mentioned about death. That is direct experience. You don't require any education for that. Similarly, this changing nature of the body is Anumanam. That body is changing, coming, changing, going. And I am not changing. And if this has happened in this lifetime, from this you can assume or you can infer that another body, when I get, the same thing will happen. Perhaps it may be a shorter time or a longer time. That's another issue. But process is the same thing. So, that example is to show, to convince everybody that I don't change. What changes is the body. So, just like the 80-90-year-old person, he takes his album or video and shows to the child and tell him, you find out where is me in this, he says to the child. So, but that body is not there. Body has completely changed. Mind has changed. Everything has changed. that is that word, anuyat. Krishna uses the word anuyat. Srijyal, srijyam, and anuyat. Anuyat means this. That anuyat means that you are not changing. You are not changing. But all this change can happen only if you are there. Otherwise change won't happen, would it? It's only due to your presence this change is happening. Changes are happening in the body, mind, intelligence and ego. But all those changes are happening because you are present there. And that is why it is called anuyam. So, and that is what is giving us this experience that you are not changing from inside. That without any change, I remain without change. But only problem what we have is, we never gave any attention to this thought, any time. Throughout life, we spend all our life thinking about the body, without knowing that these changes are happening in this body because of his presence there. Because he is there, only then this change can happen. First of all, the body has come into existence due to his presence. Material nature put this cover on us, this gross body and the subtle body and the mind, intelligence, ego, everything, all on us. But material nature knows very well inside this, he is present. That consciousness is present. Our true self in other words. So, unfortunately, we didn't give any attention to that. We gave attention to the changes that's happening. Changes that is happening. So, lot of changes are happening. But that one thing which is not changing, that experience we never got. Our experience is all centered around the changes that's happening, but not on the object that is remaining inside us without change. That is spiritual life. When your attention goes away from the object that is changing to the object which is standing inside without change, then your spiritual life has begun. Otherwise not. All these talk about this, so many things we say in spiritual life, that adhyalpam, adhyalpam we say, spiritual life. But spiritual life doesn't start like that. Spiritual life is when the attention turns away from the thing what is changing. Unfortunately, importance is there, that this thing that which is already there, present there, and that experience of that, and unfortunately we have completely ignored that. We have completely ignored that. Slowly we are taking our attention towards that. Taking our attention towards that. And when you start asking that question, is there an experience like that inside me? That will be the question. Is there such an experience can one have that I can remain without a change? Is it possible to stay like that? Today we know it is change is happening in the body, in the mind, intelligence and all. But is it possible to remain inside this body without experiencing this change? Without experiencing this change means, even now, he is not experiencing the changing. In our mind, this experience is known to us. Known to us. So that is why, when you get this understanding from Bhagavatam, or from Bhagavad Gita, our duty, what Krishna expects us to do, is to go home and to reflect this and change our understanding. That misunderstanding what we had must go to the proper understanding of the soul. That is why Krishna is saying all these things to Uddhava. That this is our, this is the truth. If you don't accept, if you accept it first and then start reflecting on that, mananam process. On that. For that, through this process of Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, the three states, and the two things I mentioned about the presence of the soul, how it comes out in certain instances, like between the Chittavritti, between the middle of vacant, deep sleep and the vacant state, all these are a sort of helpful tools to support our understanding of the soul, understanding of the soul. So you can see that srijyal srijyam anuyad. So on the one hand, it is impossible to accept this principle that I am going to die. It's not possible. Why we are happily running around in this world, even though so much death is happening? Because of this only, as I mentioned before, that inside he is not allowing you to accept that, because he knows he is eternal. The one inside, he knows he is eternal. Only body is changing, but because in ajnanam inside, it is mixed up with the body. It's mixed up with the body, and that is what is causing the problem. That is what is causing the problem. For example, looking at the body, you can see, at one time there was good health, but now I can't see the same health anymore in this body. 10-15 years ago you could sing well, but now you can't sing anymore. Everything has changed, isn't it? So many things changes how it happens, isn't it? 10 years ago, so many bad thoughts means, depending on the age in life, various kinds of bad thoughts occurred in the mind. Anger, lust, greed, things like that. But as time passes, many things leaves you. That change also we observe, isn't it? As you get older, lot of thoughts process also changes, isn't it? Lot of things have gone away from you. Even if you want to get angry, you can't get angry like when you were young, isn't it? It comes like that, becomes like that. So changes happened somewhere. Similarly, 10 years ago there was no diabetes, but now diabetes has come. Change again, isn't it? So many changes are happening, and I'm still thinking that it's happening in the body. That is why we have always have the hope that it will all change one day again. Because we know very well that it has come, so it has to go. Even if it's diabetes or cancer or whatever it is, doesn't matter. You very well know inside, the soul inside, he is not admitting. At any time, he is not going to admit that cancer or diabetes or blood pressure or whatever It has not come to him. It has only come to the body. He knows that. That is why, in spite of all the things what's happening, all what you want to do is, I want to get rid of the body, because in the body only it's happening, it's not happening in me. That he knows very well inside. So, and there is a center inside where that experience is present. Where experience is present. So, and he who is present inside, who is a witness of all these things, and you have to follow him, not the body or the mind. You have to follow him. And that is what, in Shastram, what we call it as Anusandhanam. You may have heard this word Anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means this, following the soul, not the body and the mind. Following the soul. You can only explain things in this way, because ultimately everybody has to do it themselves. No, but somebody else cannot do it for you. You have to do it yourself and escape from here. That's the only solution. Krishna's way is like that. Krishna says you follow the process. Krishna is explaining the process. Krishna is giving you some indications or tools how to get to that understanding. But following that process, Anusandhanam, Nididhyasanam, Mananam, all these are various methods that can help to come to that understanding and to get established in that. That's our Anusandhanam, is our duty. So Anusandhanam means that which remains in continuity in that state. So you can give you an example. If you go to a small children classroom, say 5-year-old boys or little ones, and ask this question, switch off all the lights in the room and ask this question, what do you feel? Somebody asked this question to one children when they switched off all the lights, and there were a number of children in the classroom, and they asked the children, what do you feel now? The children answered that, I only know me. I'm here. I don't know. I can't see anybody else. In other words, his presence he knows, awareness of himself, isn't it? That is why sometimes this high Vedanta philosophy, even children capture it like this. Grown up, they struggle with it. It's a fact. It has happened many times. Small children, because they don't have all the rubbish what we have got in our here and here, everywhere. So, because they don't have the rubbish inside, when you tell them very simple, it is very simple to explain this principle, isn't it? Presence of the soul is like this. That the children's answer was that, I only know that I am here. But others I don't know. The light is gone. There's no, we couldn't see anybody. But he was still conscious of awareness of himself. And that's all it is required to know this. It's a simple thing, but due to our, because we are too intelligent, that's why all this problem. Too much intelligence and too much mind. So that's why it's finding it difficult. He says, I feel my presence. But only thing is, only problem there is, that presence, we take it as our body, bodily presence, isn't it? So if you take away all the bodies, that presence is still there in us. Presence, awareness, isn't it? So, what nature is doing to us, you see what nature does to us? In deep sleep state, in sushupti, it takes away the body from us. Is it not? It takes the body away from us. And that's how material nature is teaching us. Material nature is teaching us. That is what it's called anuyad. That word, anuyad. That means, when the body, mind, intelligence, everything is there, he is there. But when the body, mind, intelligence is not there, he is still there. That is anuyad. Janma adhyasya donyayadi daradaschate shobhijnaswarad. His nature is like that. That first verse is important. That's where this anuyam vidregam comes. We spoke about anuyam vidregam before also. The anuyam is this. That anuyam is this, when body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is there, he is there. When the body, mind, intelligence, everything goes away, he is still there. He is still there. See, so that is why in the 17th verse we will see. Shruti pratyaksham aidihyam അനുമാനം ചതുഷ്ടയം പ്രമാണേഷു അനവസ്ഥാനാത് വികൽപാത് സ വിരജ്യതേ.
ശ്രുതി പ്രത്യക്ഷ ഐതിഹ്യം അനുമാനം ച ചതുഷ്ടയം
പ്രമാണേഷു അനവസ്ഥാനാത് വികൽപാത് സ വിരജ്യതേ.
കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദയർ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് പ്രമാണം 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 മീൻസ് അതോറിറ്റി അതോറിറ്റി യു കോൾ അതോറിറ്റി ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് പ്രമാണം മീൻസ് അതോറിറ്റി ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ this earthly planet mother earth when you look at it it doesn't look it's round isn't it it's not like a globe it's not it is flat by looking at it it is flat isn't it then how do you know that it is like a globe because you went to school and studied there at the school they have told us that it is like this and somebody found out that it is like a globe So, but our vision is it is flat. Our vision is flat, isn't it? So, but somebody said that it is not flat and it is a globe. So what others did? They fed him with poison and they beat him up and they killed him. They're saying for making this for propaganda, isn't it? I think it's Galileo. Galileo, yes. Yeah. It has happened like that. So you can see authority is important. Authority is important. When we don't have an authority, your eyes will cheat you. Eyes are cheating me. Eyes are telling me that this is flat. But somebody else has come and told me that it's not flat, it is a globe. Now, because it is like that, pramanam, that is where the authority comes. So, what is the pramanam? Pramanam is this. What you cannot experience through their senses, but at the same time, it is the truth, And if somebody talks about that, that is called a pramana. Pramana means authority. You cannot experience it through your senses. But it is the truth. And somebody else is giving it to you, then he is the pramana. He is the authority. Just like here now, we are accepting all these things because Krishna is the authority. That's why we are accepting. Because Krishna is authority speaking, we have to accept it. Today, whatever Krishna has spoken is not known to us. All we know is this body and the mind and the ego. What do we know about the soul? But because authority is speaking, just like this example of the earth, who has, by our own intelligence, we won't find out that. It requires some mercy from Krishna's side to come for that to reveal that knowledge to us. So we are in a similar situation. That means that's where authority comes in spiritual life. Authority comes there. That's why in Vedam, Vedic philosophy, authority is given the highest position. Highest position. Out of these four, Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, the four processes, if Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, all the three, If they don't agree with the Shruti, then you reject all the three, you go by the Shruti. That is the process, which is quite difficult for our intelligence to accept. Do you know what I'm saying? That Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, four processes. In that four processes, Shruti is the highest authority. That means if you have direct experience of something, If you have direct experience of something, pratyaksham, and if you have inference, anumanam, like we talked about anumanam, and if you have aidihyam, that means you heard from somebody else, that's also an authority. All that finishes when Shruti comes in there. Shruti is the authority. Shruti is the authority. So powerful is that authority, Shruti. Shruti is so authoritative, you can't question that. That is not allowed under any circumstances. Shruti means Krishna here. Bhagavatam, it is Shruti is Krishna. Krishna is the authority. Whatever Krishna says, that is authority. There is no question. That is why all the acharyas and commentators, they will say this to us. Ultimately, it is Krishna's words. There is no question of questioning that. I may not understand it today, like this earth case.
Earth, I don't know, but somebody else has taught me in the school. And then later on, if you have traveled by probably Sputnik or to the moon, then you can see this Earth from there and see, yeah, it is correct. You can say like that. Or because you are traveling now, they tell you that you can fly all around the world ticket if you take. And if you travel, you can find out probably that Earth is more like a globe, isn't it? But imagine a time when all these facilities were not there. Galileo's case, that's what happened. He didn't have the opportunity to fly all around and able to, but through his own observations, like Newton found the apple falling and he thought about that, and similarly he thought about this, and he has come to that conclusion, whatever it is. So there, that was his anumanam, that he came to that understanding that it is globe, round, it is, isn't it? And he told all of us and we didn't accept him and all those things happened. But today everybody is accepting because little by little that realization has become a truth. Similarly, in matters related to spiritual life, because it's a little more subtle than this, than the earth flatness or roundness or that. Because it's much more subtle, we have no other choice except to accept what Krishna is saying. He's saying the truth. We don't know, we cannot experience it right at this moment. That is why that pramanam or authority is that thing what you cannot know through your senses, but it is the reality or the truth, and they are speaking. Those authority is speaking. Krishna is speaking. Sridharacharya Swamiji is speaking. Vedavyasa Maharshi is speaking. Srinarada Maharshi is speaking. So that is the authority. Remember Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, if you read in the introduction, he will say, we don't accept any other authority, he said. In the beginning you will see, we have our own authorities, he said, acharyas, he said, acharya upasanam. And he gives a list of all the acharyas whose authority Prabhupada accepting. So that is the process. That is the process as far as this Rajavidya is concerned, king of knowledge is concerned, that is the process. So here, things what you see, direct perception, you can't necessarily be true. You may think, oh, direct experience is the highest. No, direct experience is not the highest. Because you can see, your eyes can cheat you. Isn't it? So for example, Prabhupada gave the example, the sun planet from looking from here, it looks like a large disk in the sky. But scientists are saying that the size of the sun planet, as per the Bhagavatam also, is hundreds of times bigger than this earth planet. But when you stand on the earth planet and you look at it, which shows that the eyes can cheat you. Is it not? So that's what it says here. For the sake of the form, the eye, and for the sound, the ears, and for the smell, the nose, and for the taste, the tongue, and for touching, the skin. So all that knowledge which is coming through these senses, we can accept that to some extent, but it's not the full final authority. It's not the final authority. So pramana means they are all authority. We accept them as authority, but they are not the final authority. They give knowledge to all of us. Prama means what delivers to us, which informs us. Pramanam, and prameyam means what is known, vastu that is known. So, shastra pramanam. Shastram, this is shastram. What are the pramanam? Shruti, pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam. That's the four things Krishna is using here. Shruti, pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam. Four kinds of authority. Shruti means what? Shruti means Vedam. Vedam generally means, Vedam has got a big departments in there, isn't it? Karmagandam, Upasanagandam, Jnanagandam. As far as knowledge is concerned, Jnanagandam is the authority. Jnanagandam means Upanishads. Jnanagandam means Upanishads. Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, all belongs to Jnanagandam. Brahma Sutram has come from the Upanishads again. Upanishads knowledge is codified more and Brahma Sutram was created by Vedavyasa. So, in spiritual science, Adhyatma Vidya, Vedam is the ultimate authority. This is the conclusion of the sages. The problem nowadays is, nowadays particularly is that without accepting the authority of the Vedas, whatever they are speaking, and that is causing the problem. Without accepting the authority of the Vedas. Because spirituality has practically become a charismatic business now. Charisma. People are pulled into spirituality through charisma of the speaker or the spiritual teacher or leader, whoever it is. If you get carried away by the charisma of the person, then where is Shruti there then? What's the authority of the Shruti there? So this is the problem today. All over you can see this. And they have come and completely messed up the whole thing. At one time, when the life was so simple, when we had such advanced personalities in spiritual life existed, so simple they were and so realized they were, they never gave any importance to the charisma of the person. You see? They never gave any importance to the charisma of the person. But now, that's all what it matters now. Is he able to present himself and speak in a charismatic way and attract the crowd? That is the spiritual authority now. Not Shruti. One should think these things. Why Krishna is saying here, Shruti is the authority, not the charisma is the authority. Or if the person has got so much followers or money behind it, able to mobilize a lot of big programs and make the whole world feel that his presence here in this world, and you start accepting that as the authority, you are lost. You will go to trouble, get into trouble. There's nothing you can do about it. It's another mass type of cheating. That's why in spiritual life, when you make it such global business out of it, all these things will happen because ignorant public do not know. They don't know where to discriminate. The discriminative power is not there. Everybody is going there. I should also go there. I should also join the club. This comes, isn't it? It's common among the people because normally people don't have time to think all this. They are busy with the work morning to night. So only they got few minutes here and there. In that they want to fit in. If I can get some self-realization in these 10 minutes, it's well and good. That's how we are looking at it. So accordingly, there are so many cheaters also. Whoever is not speaking from the Shastram, based on the Shastram, completely based on the Shruti, it's not acceptable. It is not acceptable. And this is the process Shankaracharya followed, Ramanujacharya followed, Vishnu Swami followed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed, Nimbarkacharya followed, all the Acharyas followed this process. They were not following someone without a charismatic business person. No, they were driven by Shruti. Shruti is the basis of everything. Shruti is the basis of everything. Otherwise, it has no meaning. Anybody, celebrities also can draw people. On a FA Cup match, there's 80,000 people coming there also to Wembley. So should I say that all the 80,000 people are come there? Therefore, that is the authority. It doesn't become the authority. Authority is Shruti. That is where the difficulty is. We are driven by the masses. Masses, we are captivated by that. If so many people are going to him, he must be correct. That's what we think, isn't it? But he is not. Unfortunately, it's not. You can get lost in that process. You will be nowhere at the end. At the end, you will become a number there out of the 80,000 or 100,000, whoever it is. That's all it is. Nothing you will gain from that. Because Krishna is saying here, why does Krishna has to say all these things in the Bhagavatam otherwise? Shruti pratyaksham aidihyam anumanam chatushtayam. These are the four things Krishna says as authority. Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam. There are also gradations. We can accept all the three, but if it is contradicting with Shruti, no. Out. No, not accepting. That is the power of the Shruti. Power of Upanishads is like that. If it is not tallying, you may come out and say that you have this realization, that realization. Nowadays everybody says, I have so many deep realizations, they say. You will see sometimes on the internet, sometimes devotees writing, I had this deep realization, they say. So, they think, what we say is, alright, you have nice realization, but if it is not agreeing with Shruti, your realization, forget it. We are not accepting that. That is the power of Shruti. You may have any realization. If it is agreeing with Shruti, yes, we will accept that. But sometimes these realizations don't agree, you see. And then you have to accept, then it's difficult. So many things are going on, isn't it, in the name of this realization business. So many people are getting so many realizations, you don't know whom to trust now. With all these realizations going around, flying around all over. Something happens and somebody comes and says something. Oh, you must have high realization, you must have understood something higher than what I didn't know. What we say in the offices. You say, he must be knowing something better than what I don't know. Same way. It's more or less similar to that. Nothing more than that. So, but we can't play with spiritual life in that way. We just don't have the time, and it's a waste of time if you do that. In spiritual life, everything is crystal clear. It's a straightforward business. There is no cheating there. Krishna is saying, Shruti is the authority. Pramanam, other pramanam, like Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, we can accept it, but to some extent, but unless it is in tallying with Shruti. Unless it tallies with Shruti. So, spirituality has gone in that direction. So, this is the reason all the acharyas that, all the great acharyas, they kept Shruti as the authority. For this reason only, because they know that there's always clever people in this world who will mislead others. They have also seen people enough, isn't it? All the acharyas, they know our nature. So, they know very well that there will be people who will come and who will mislead others. And many, many religious processes have come up like that in this world. Misled others in many ways. And you can see that has happened so many times in many institutions also. The same thing has happened. People are misled. Then he goes, and those who got fooled by that, because they didn't have that proper understanding, those who got fooled by that, they keep quiet about it. Because it's better not to say about it to anybody what happened, isn't it? They keep quiet. They don't say anything about it. So, sometimes also, people engage in meditation, dhyanam, similarly yoga practices, and all these things. And then they say they had this realization, something has come. In the name of spirituality. In the name of spirituality, they'll bring it out. Sages are saying to us, you can say whatever you like. We have no objection to that. Whether through yogam or dhyanam, meditation, whatever you may like, you can say. But if you say all these things without accepting the conclusions of the Vedas, and that satyam what you have realized in your own way, what is the Vedic conclusion? Satyam, jnanam, anandam, brahmam. Satyam, jnanam, anandam, brahmam. That is the conclusion. Or, Atma Sarvanubhudaha. That Veda is saying here, Vedam is telling us, I am not this body. Vedam is saying to us, away from this body, completely different from this body, I am there, completely in perfect state, Purna Vastu, inside this. That is my identity. Veda is telling us this. Veda is also telling us, if you come to know that identity, if you realize that identity, you are liberated in this body. Veda is telling us all these things, isn't it? So accordingly, you stay and you perform your meditation or whatever it is, and through your meditation or through your mananam or through your shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, whatever processes you follow, and if you have come to this realization at the end, then we can agree with you. If you have not come to this realization and you come and sold something different than this, sorry, we can't agree with you. That's how it is. Because goal has to be very clear, and that has to be defined by Vedic authority we are talking about here. So, because even if you are Lord Buddha, or even if you are Kapila Maharshi, doesn't matter. If you come and tell, no matter who you are, you may be a great personality, a great sage, but if you come and tell something different than what is in the Shruti, in the Vedam, if it is not according to the authority of the Shruti, we cannot accept it. We cannot accept it. Because we'll pay our obeisances to you, but we will not accept your conclusions. This is the This is in the commentaries of the Acharyas. They are very particular about this one point. Because why they are particular about this is like this. Why are they so particular? Because Vedam is not a book. It's not a book. It is the original revelations of the absolute truth through the sages. We have no time factor you can put into the beginning of the Vedas, isn't it? Upanishad's timing is unknown to anybody. It has been revealed through them from unknown timings. We don't even know when these have come into existence. It's that old it is. Many other literature, okay, you can give some date to it, isn't it? You can give some date for that, including, for example, Srimad Bhagavatam, we say 5,000 years. Even Bhagavad Gita, if you don't accept the what Krishna has spoken, at least you can accept that 5,000 years ago Krishna spoke Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But Upanishads, no. There is no time factor on Upanishads. Lot of speculation has happened later by the historians, came out with a lot of speculation saying that this Upanishads might have come about so many years before Christ and all that. But nobody has any clear idea. The fact remains that most of the Upanishads and the among the Vedic hymns, many has been lost. What we all have got now is only a small part of that. Much of it has been gone out of from the public. So the point here is that the authority of the Vedas is so heavy, so heavy. You can't go against that. And it is only based on the authority of the Vedam you can present Krishna consciousness to others. Not whimsically. You can't add anything to it and bring your own conclusions into it. If you say something, it should be in line with the authority of the Vedam. Vedam is the authority. That is how it is presented. So, Srimad Bhagavatam mentions this in a nice way. How does it say? Before creation, this revelation happened. Remember? Brahma was given the knowledge before creation. That is how old it is. Vedam, Vedic knowledge was given to Brahma, Lord Brahma, a time long before the creation. Isn't it? Long before the creation, this has happened. That how it is that old, this process of knowledge. But parampara, that is the succession. It has come and many sages have certified that. They have certified that. Because the track is one track, the same knowledge. Without falling away from the track, it kept flowing through these various sages. And through the Acharyas, great personalities just come and it stays in the same way. Track has not changed. It's the same track. So, how do you define that? Because knowing that, by what? That you don't have to know anything anymore. That is the perfection. By knowing what? You don't have to know anything anymore. That is that perfectional stage. Yat vijnanarthe sarva vijnanam bhavanti. That after that there is nothing else to be known. Nothing else to be known. Or perfection happens, or complete freedom from the material existence or material distress and peace. And that is what is called Vedam. What is addressed as Vedam? So Vedam, Lakshanam, the symptoms are spoken. And these symptoms are what we call it as Pramanam or authority. And based on this only, you can perform your meditation or analysis of the soul, and whether by doing that or not doing that, or by performing sadhana, whichever way it is, or by sitting quiet, idle in one place. But if you come to the conclusion, if your experience is what is in agreement with the Vedic knowledge, that should be the same. That is the authority of the Vedas. So, Veda Pramanyam, or the authority of the Vedas, is the authority in the knowledge of the self, in the knowledge of the soul. So, if you see a self-realized soul also, they will also say, if they are self-realized, what they will always speak the same language as far as their final realization is concerned. Vedantam evam purusham mahandam. In the Upanishads, there is a statement like that. So, we have to accept that authority. so many great personalities, what we hear now, like for example, if you go back into the history, you see so many great souls have appeared in different times, isn't it? And through them, you get a glimpse of that knowledge and their realizations. So at different times, when we hear about these great personality, great devotees, great jnanis, great souls, what's happening is their life is what is called aidihyam. Aidihyam means that this happened for this person. That is aidihyam. This happened for this person. And when that comes to us now, say for example, if you take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life or all the great Rupa Goswami's life, Sanatana Goswami's life, or like that Vedanta Deshi's life, Ramanujacharya's life, all the Acharya's life, all the great devotees' life, today it is aidihyam. Because we are not directly seeing that. It has come to us because that what they realized, they wrote it through the books. They had their own establishments or mutts where they established, and they had their tradition, sampradayam in this world. So through them, it has come and we are able to connect with them. That is called aidihyam. So aidihyam process is like that. Pratyaksham is the direct perception. Now, you notice one thing. Out of these four, Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, the three of them are prone to errors. Isn't it? For example, Aidihyam. Aidihyam is like this, that you hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's case, pastimes. All those pastimes, it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Many of them mentioned there. There are many things in other books also related to Chaitanya Charitam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavatam, like that. Isn't it? Now, Chaitanya Charitamritam is not an exact replica of Chaitanya Mangala or Chaitanya Bhagavatam. They are all different, isn't it? So you can see the problem that when an author comes, say Lochandas Thakur or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, whenever they write the books, there will always be a possibility of a change from the original incident, what has happened. It may not be exactly the same. There's always a possibility of a small error happening. Where it's possible. Either it may not be deliberately done, it can happen due to the realizations they may have while writing the book. So, or somebody has reported about the matter to him. They have heard from somebody, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, many things are spoken like that, isn't it? That so-and-so has reported to Surup Damodar Goswami and Surup Damodar spoke about it to somebody. Like that, it has come in a different way. So, in all those books, any matter, doesn't matter, everything is like that. That there is a possibility that there could be a small, it is not on the absolute plane, I'm saying, those literature cannot be on the absolute plane. So therefore these differences, and that's what happens with aidihyam. Anything that comes through aidihyam is subject to these smaller defects can happen. They can be true also, 100%, but there can be possibility of errors as well. Yeah, that's one. Direct perception, I've told you where the problem can happen. Things can go wrong. You may observe something, but it need not be correct. Like the flat earth and the round earth. Isn't it? Similarly, the size of the sun planet or the moon planet. Moon people say that there is, when you look at the moon in the night on a full moon day, only through the scientists are telling us that it is the sunlight that is reflecting through the moon to us, isn't it? I think that's what they say. So we are accepting that, but we have not gone and verified it, whether the sunlight is falling on the moon or not. We can't even know that. But we are accepting that authority. But if the scientists are wrong, which is possible, one day it can be wrong, who knows, they are saying to us. But if it goes wrong, that is the fault of what? Accepting that that instruction from the scientists. Because that is not based on any Shruti. It is not based on Shruti, isn't it? It may be true also, nobody can say that, isn't it? So, that what I'm saying is, direct perception as a problem. It is subject to error. So, pratyaksham is subject to error. Aidihyam is subject to error. Anumanam. Anumanam means inference. Inference also can be subject to error. They are all subject to error, isn't it? For example, we say, so there is a hill there and there is a smoke coming from there. So if the smoke is coming, we can infer that there is fire. That's why the smoke is coming from there. That's the inference, isn't it? Now, it is possible that the smoke is coming, but it is possible that the fire may not be there, fire may have gone, but the smoke is still coming out from there. So fire may have existed sometime before, fire is over, but the smoke is still coming. That is a possibility there. So sometimes inference can also go subject to error. Inference is subject to error. Pratyaksham is subject to error. Anumanam is subject to error. Shruti is not subject to error. This is why the difference I'm saying. That is why when we study Shastram also, why I'm saying this is, if you do not accept Upanishads as the topmost authority, your authority is in a shaky situation. Upanishads are the authority. If Srimad Bhagavatam agrees with Upanishads, then we have to accept Srimad Bhagavatam. Why we accept Srimad Bhagavatam? Because the personality who is presenting Srimad Bhagavatam is an Upanishad's authority. Who? Shukabrahmarshi, Sudev Goswami. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is important. Because of the authority of Sudeva Goswami, because he will not deviate from Upanishads. In Bhagavatam, we have everything, isn't it? Bhagavatam, if you look Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, Mahabharatam is there, Ramayanam is there, all the Puranas are there, Malsi Puranam is there, Vamana Puranam is there, Kurma Puranam is there, Varaha Puranam is there, Narsimha Puranam is there. Many of the Puranams are summarized in the Bhagavatam, is it not? All the Puranams you find there, Mahabharatam you find there, Ramayanam you find there, and in the Ekadasha Skandam you also find the Upanishads, quite a lot, is it not? So Upanishads are also there. So Bhagavatam is a perfect package of everything, practically all the Vedic knowledge is packaged well in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So while studying Srimad Bhagavatam, this is why difficulty comes, because a lot of times people do not think about this or try to inquire about these Upanishads or Brahma Sutram or authorities like that. They'll just go and take some Puranam book and start saying that the very interesting questions will come from them. There's one person asked on the internet, I don't know whether you have seen that. You know that pastime in Krishna's pastime where old lady came to sell fruits. Did you read that? It says there that this devotee who has been reading Krishna book and he has found some mistake there, he's saying that Prabhupada has written that it was a man who has come and sold the fruits, not a woman. Something there, I don't know, I have not read that, but he is asking this question, can anyone clarify whether it was a man or a woman who has come to sell the fruits to Krishna? Krishna collected, you remember that beautiful pastime in the Bhagavatam? It's the 8th chapter. So his question is, was it a man or was it a woman who had come to sell the fruits? This is where our attention goes in the wrong way. This is what happens in spiritual life. We get into these things. Does it make a difference if it's a man or a woman? First thing. That is not what is meant to, what is expected from us. If Sudeva Goswami in the Bhagavatam, as it is presented, it is a woman. The old lady who had come, she was completely enamored by Krishna's beauty and she wanted to hand over everything to Krishna. And Krishna in his childish nature went inside, collected some grains from inside, came out holding in the hand. But that little hand could not hold so much grain. While tripping over the door, all the grains have fallen off from the hand through the different gaps in the hand. By the time Krishna brought it and put it into the basket, there was nothing left. But that old lady didn't care. Seeing that beauty, Krishna's attraction, nature and that childishness, she took all the fruits and gave it to Krishna and she left. And when she went back, the whole basket was full of jewels. And Krishna didn't want her to struggle anymore in life. And that is the, she was a lady from the forest hunters community or something, old lady. So that pastime is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So there, the importance is not whether that was a lady or a man or a woman. What I'm saying is, if we are not fixed on these things, if we start studying books in that way, it will cause problems, because so many questions will come from the Puranam and you will be nowhere. After clarifying all your questions, if you are going to come to spiritual life, it is never going to happen. By the time will be over. That is the problem there. So here, what Krishna is saying here is that Pramaneshu. So here, these four Pramanam, four authority. Out of this, as I mentioned before, direct perception, which is Pratyaksham, Anumanam, Aidihyam, are subject to error sometimes. It is acceptable as authority, but subject to error. We can't verify that, can you? Now, so many stories about many things what happened in the past. Ramchandra's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, which comes through Ramayana, Mahabharatam and all that. There are various versions. Ramayana alone has got so many versions for Ramayana. And you will see differences in there. Tulsidas Ramayana is different from Valmiki's Ramayana. Kamba Ramayana is again different. And there is other Ramayanams also, Adhyalpa Ramayana. So many, Vedavyasa Maharshi himself compiled Ramayana, Adhyalpa Ramayana. They are all acceptable. Aidihyam it is. They are all acceptable. But ultimately, if there is a question between Upanishads and these Vedic literature, Upanishads is the authority. It has to be like that. That is where we go wrong. That's where things can go wrong. Whereas if we don't know about that authority, simply go after the other things and thinking that this is it, everything, then you may have a little difficulty. And that problem is always happening. So, keeping this authority, these four things as the authority, Krishna is saying here, keeping these four things as the authority, we have to understand that this material world, has no existence. It is false. Based on all these four authorities. Also, these same authorities are teaching us, particularly Shruti. When we say Shruti, Upanishads are teaching us that keeping this body, you cannot be perfect. You cannot be perfect. Or keeping this mind and keeping this mind under control, you can remain in a perfect situation. Or in other words, as long as you have all these imperfections in your upadhi, body, mind, intelligence, ego, they are all upadhi. With all the imperfections in the upadhi, you can never make it perfect. Upadhi will always have imperfections. Therefore, never endeavor to make upadhi perfect. These words, you have to use the same word. Upadhi is the right word. Upadhi they are. Because it is through upadhi the soul is shining. It is through the upadhi the soul is shining. Isn't it? So, pramaneshu vasthana, the 17th verse. That is what that verse means. Pramaneshu anavasthana vigalpat sa virajyadeyam. That line is explaining all these things. Pramaneshu anavasthana vigalpad sa virajyade. What does it mean? Pramaneshu anavasthanat. If you have no pramanam, authority, like Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam, if those pramanams are not there, pramaneshu anavasthanat, vigalpad sa virajyade. Everything is vigalpam. Vigalpam means what? It's a game of the Maya. Maya's game it is. And because it is like that, the world has no existence. Krishna is trying to establish some fundamental truth in us. So, it's 25 past 5 now. We'll start another 15 minutes or so. So, coming back to this question of authority. As I said before, that important everything in the Vedam, Upanishads also, is to bring us down to this understanding that what is that? Balyadishu api jagradadishu tatha sarva suavastha suapi. Balyadishu. Balyadishu means balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam. Boy means boyhood, childhood, boyhood, youth, old age, in that way. This is all balyadishu, means all these things. What it means is that from the platform of the soul, if you identify with the soul, consciousness, and then you look at yourself and then see what's happening in you. That's how spiritual life is. You have to always think that I'm not this body. Always thinking like that. I'm something different. Consciousness is Brahma. Accept what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, you're not the body, you are that consciousness inside. Pure consciousness, isn't it? The soul. And staying in that situation, look at your own body. And what's happening? Balyadishu abhi. Starting from balyam. You came out in this world as a child. Boy or girl, whatever it is. And then it keeps changing. Day after day, it kept on changing. Balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam. Means keep changing from boyhood, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, and then old age, and then gone from here. One set of changes. That's what has happened. That's all what is life, isn't it? Came like this and went like that. Came in one door, went through the other door. That's all. So life is over. That is one thing. Then what else? Jagrada dishutatha sarvasu avastha sopi. Either in one of these three cages. Have you seen in the zoo, if you go, big tigers and lions, they'll be put in cages. Their cage will be a long cage, so they can walk from one end to the other. And in between, there will be separation, so they can move from one room to another room, through a door to another room. And they'll be walking back and forth. Sometimes you go and look at them, and we'll all be standing outside and looking at them, moving from one room to another room. So similarly, us, we are at the moment caged in these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states. We are moving from one cage to another cage. All are cage only. Cages got these three compartments, but you keep moving from one compartment to another compartment. This is life. One change from boyhood, youthhood, old age, death. Another one, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Sarvasavastha, Swapi. You cannot go outside these three states and you cannot stop the change that is happening in the body. This is how much independent we are. You cannot go out of the three states, you cannot change your body. Vyavrta svanivartamanam ahimatyandam spurandam sadam. When all these things are going on, when all these Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, Balyam Kaumaram Yavanam Vardhakyam, all these things are going on, Vyavrtas anuvartamanam mahimatyandam spurandam sadam. In all these states, when all these changes are happening, he is inside, completely unaffected by everything. Spurandam sada. It's called spurti. Spurti means that which comes out suddenly through the different states. It's a spurti, it is called. Spurti, for example, the word spurti is used. In Bhagavatam, you will see the soul is spoken in different terminologies in different places. Pratyabhijna, spurti, these are all words for Atma, for the soul. So spurti is that between two thought waves, Krishna comes out, that is called spurti. It's called spurti. Similarly, between these three states, it is there is spurti. I mentioned yesterday, from deep sleep, when you come to vacant state, there is spurti there of the soul. Similarly, there is spurti between vacant state and the dream state. You know how, if you analyze these things, it's very interesting. Say for example, when you go to sleep, what happens? First, the mind closes down. That's what happens, isn't it? The mind closes down and then the ego goes. When you go to sleep. If you think about it, you can see yourself, it's not a big deal. It's a simple thing. What happens is, you go to bed and then for a, within a short time, all the thought stops. That means the mind is closed down. When the mind is closed down, the next thing, the ego, I am, goes. And that's how you move to Sushupti. That's how you go to Sushupti, isn't it? Yes or no? Yes. So you go to Sushupti. Now, when you wake up, it's the reverse way. Have you noticed that? First thing, I wake up. And then the mind opens up. It's the opposite way. When you come back from deep sleep to wakened state, that's what Dakshinamurti Ashtakam is saying, explaining that. These are so important because if you don't know your own mind, then the waking state, dream state, deep sleep, what spiritual life can you have without understanding these things? That you are going into a state, first thing, mind closes down. Mind expands, closes, expands, closes. So when the mind closes and then false ego disappears, you go into deep sleep. Isn't it? And then when you wake up, false ego gets up first and then the mind opens up. But it all happens in so fast that you don't even know what is actually happening. But one thing is sure, that if you observe yourself, you can see this is what exactly happening at that time. So that's what it says here. Balyadishu vijagradadishu tatha sarvasu avastha sopi vyavrutva sanivartamana mahimai atyandas purandam sada. In all these times, he is shining from inside. He is noticing all these things, what is going on. And he has a role there. When it is coming from, as I said, he is not always atyandas purandam sada. He is always there, ready to and take notice of what is going on. Svalpanam pragadigaro divajadam yo bhadraya mudraya tasmai shri gurumurtaye namaidam shri dakshinamurtaye. His role is like this. Svalpanam pragadigaro divajadam yo bhadraya mudraya. You must have heard this, that there is a way of instructing through silence. Have you heard that? Svalpanam, that means nothing is spoken. You will see a photograph of Lord Shiva instructing four Kumaras. There is a photograph of that. There are many, many great personalities. They don't speak. They instruct through silence. Through silence, they are able to instruct them. They are what they want to teach their students. So, the Dakshinamurti position is like that. Shiva instructing transcendental knowledge to the Kumaras, four Kumaras. Four Kumaras went to see, first they went to see Lord Brahma. When they went to see Lord Brahma was in the musical concert. And their songs were sung and apsaras were dancing and it was a beautiful scenario there. And when Kumaras or jnanis are in the great devotees and jnanis there, they say, we have nothing to learn from this person. He is interested in sense gratification only. They said, and they rejected Brahma, their own father. They said, we don't want to hear anything from him. They left. Then they went to Vaikuntham. When they went there, it's another scene there. Mahavishnu is lying down sleeping. Yoga Nidra, isn't it? And Mahalakshmi is massaging his feet. He says, this is not the place for spiritual realization, they say. They walked out from there also. Then this is all in the Purana story, the way it's spoken. These are not the important thing. This is the Purana side of it. But we start taking all this as most important. And then we get trapped in that. Then they went to Kailasam. The scene was worse. Shiva was sitting there with Shivarvadi on the lap. So, no wonder Chitrakedu has spoken like that, isn't it? So he says, where do we go for transcendental knowledge? All three are busy with their own sense gratification, they said. So they walked out from there. It was then that Sri Parvati told Shiva, if you sit like this, they are not going to take your instruction seriously. At that time, Lord Shiva has to accept another form as Dakshinamurti. And underneath the tree, he sits there in a transcendental position and instructs the transcendental knowledge as a pure brahmachari. And in a celibate mood, without any kind of interference from the Maya. And that is what the Dakshinamurti position is known. And that is, his position is like this, that svalpanam prakati karodi bhajadam yo badraya mudraya, that he, in his chinmudra position, you must have heard about this chinmudra. Chinmudra is some mudra. Mudra means the way they hold the hand, that Lord Shiva instructing the Kumaras transcendental knowledge, but realization is flowing from, knowledge is flowing from Lord Shiva to the Kumaras freely, without communication through words. without communication through words. Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So Dakshinamurtaye's position. So we are saying here is that this message in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what these verses Krishna is referring to, is mostly in reference to the knowledge of the transcendence. Knowledge of the transcendence. So what we are coming to that is that we are talking about authority, isn't it? Pratyaksham, Shruti, Pratyaksham, Aidihyam, Anumanam. Aidihyam, Anumanam. So, Pramaneshu Avasthanad, he says here, isn't it? Pramaneshu Avasthanad, 17th verse. Pramaneshu Anavasthanad, Vigalpad Savirajyade. He says, Pramaneshu Anavasthanad, Vigalpad Savirajyade. That is very important in the sense, basically all of those four authorities, Shruti, Upanishad says Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Is it not? That's Upanishad statement. Brahmam Satyam Jagat Mithya. Upanishad statement. It came through Puranam, Pratyaksha Aidihyam Anumanam and also Pratyaksham. You can accept that truth to some extent. Is it not? For example, you see Jagat Mithya. Jagat Mithya means material world is false. You see the changes that's happening here. Because it's changing, you have to accept that it's a temporary thing, isn't it? It's a temporary thing. It's not permanent. Nowadays, everyone says, oh, how much the place has changed. People say like that. Actually, change is an important aspect of the Maya. When Maya is there, it has to change. Maya's duty is that, to change. So, change is happening. Krishna is saying here, that knowing all these things through the authority of the pramanam of the pratyaksha, aidihyam, anumanam and shruti, you have to accept that change is happening and this vikalpam, that it is a vikalpam actually. What is a vikalpam? Vikalpam means that the change in this world, when it is changing, it creates vikalpam in our mind. Is it not? Have you noticed that? So anything that is changing, it creates an impact on our own mind. That's called vikalpam. Vikalpam. Sankalpa vikalpam mana. Manasa mind will get involved in vikalpam. Vikalpam will develop. So in order to free yourself from this vikalpam, what is happening through the in the mind, there's only one way to accept the authority of the Shastram, which Shruti particularly is saying that material world is false. Material world is for mithya. It is mithya. So, those things, these things are what is spoken. If it is topics that is not ratified by the authorities, authorities means this pratyaksham, anumanam, aidihyam, or shruti, Vedas are saying here, the jagat. Jagat has no, the creation has no truth in there. Satyatvam. Satyatvam means truth. It's no truth in the creation. There's no truth in that. Because directly you can experience that continuously they are dying. Everything is dying in this world. Buildings or anything on this earth, including our body, is constantly dying. So Vedam is telling us that the way you are seeing this world as it is now, it has no truthfulness in there. It has no reality in there. This is the Vedic. That is what Jagat Mithya means. Jagat Mithya means the world you are seeing now, it has no reality. Why? Because it's changing. Something that is changing has no reality, isn't it? Nothing is real here. But as I mentioned before this, what are we thinking? We are thinking, world is real, I've come here temporarily, but actually I am real, the world is temporary. This has to get in, otherwise it's difficult, this understanding. I am real, world is temporary. We are thinking, world is real, I am temporary. Is it not? When we come here, world was always here, I came here, I'm going, but world will be still there. That's what we say. But in reality, I am permanent. World is temporary.
Satyatvam, truthfulness is in me. Brahmam satyam, jagat mithya. Not jagat satyam, brahmam mithya. We are brahmam, aham brahmasmi. Isn't it? Brahmam is truth, jagat is mithya. Difficult to, because the maya puts it in that way in front of us. This is akatita katana, patiyasi maya. Maya strength, that's what it's showing. She is able to make us realize that we are not real, we are temporary, and she is making us to realize that this world is permanent, real. Whereas in satyatvam, truthfulness, Upanishads are telling, that is, you have no other way except to take, accept the authority of Shruti here, to prove this. Except to accept the authority of Shruti, you have no other way. Shruti is telling us, Brahma is satyam, jagat is mithya. See? Shruti is telling us, Brahma is satyam, jagat is mithya. Aham brahmasmi, I am Brahmam. Isn't it? So, that is where the power of the Shruti comes. This knowledge, no matter who comes here and says something against this, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. That is where the difficulty is, because sometimes people think personality is important. Personality is not important here. Shruti, knowledge is important. Authority of the knowledge, that cannot be questioned. Then all personalities, many, many personalities have appeared in this world who, based on this truth, if they have spoken, it is acceptable. But if they have spoken something different from this truth, it's not acceptable. Even if it is Krishna himself has spoken. Krishna values it. How do you know that? In Ekadasha Skandam you will see this. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, everything I am going to talk to you for many chapters, it is not my own, he says. I have heard this Bhishma talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. That's what I am repeating now. Even Krishna won't speak against it, first of all, because after all, he is the origin of everything. Isn't it? But because he respects that tradition so much, even while he is doing the transactions in this world, he won't say, I am saying this. No. Authorities are saying like this. That is Krishna's process. Krishna can say like, I am saying like this. But no, he won't say like that. He will say, I'll tell you, the authorities have spoken like this. You also accept that, Uddhava. That's Krishna's way. Because for Krishna, tradition is important. Authority is important, and that is Shruti. That is Shruti. So here you can see, so what they are saying here, that that there is no satyatvam. Satyatvam means truthfulness or reality in this world. And same thing, those who are self-realized also, they also say, without any doubt, that this material world is jagat is mithya. This jagat is mithya. Therefore, what they are saying, don't go and put your attention on the world, your drishti. Drishti should not fall into the world. This will keep on changing and continuously change, and you will not be able to make it better. These are all the sages' conclusions. Don't put your attention in the world. Don't try to keep changing it. Don't try to improve it or anything. It is not, or get it better in that way, because it will change. Remember that example we mentioned about this, that everybody says that we have to change the world. Well, we will try. Only thing is, you will realize it that after you have done everything, by the time you stop your activities, the whole thing, like the dog's tail, goes back again to the same situation. So there you will realize it, that it was all a waste of time at the end. What it means, what it is trying to say, is that the your effort that is should be actually directed toward realizing the truth, realizing the self. So to make us aware of that, more important than the world is you who is seeing the world. Now, it is not the world that is important, it is the person who is seeing the world is important. In other words, in Adhyalpa Vidya, Brahma Vidya,
Atmavidya. What is important? It is based on Atmanishtam. Atmanishtam means it is based on the soul, on you, not based on the world. If you have accepted that, you have gone a long distance in spiritual life. Adhyatma Vidya, spiritual life, or Brahma Vidya is based on Atma, the soul, not based on the world outside. It is Atmanishtam and not Worldanishtam. You see, I don't know whether you will get in tune with this, because you just have to input something into it. If the mind is very strongly affected by the world, you will find all these statements a little little hard to accept. If your mind is very absorbed, but if you become more subtle and if you start thinking in a subtle level, you will accept this statement. It is Krishna's statement in the Bhagavatam. Adhyatma Vidya, Atma Vidya is subjective and not objective. Science is objective, not subjective. See the difference there. Spiritual knowledge is subjective. I am important, not the object. Spiritual life, I am important. The soul is important, not what I am seeing. Drishyam is not important, drashtav is important. It is on the strength of that all Upanishads are talking to us. Otherwise, all this is not going to end anywhere. Because they know very well that this is the only way you can get to the truth. The truth is drashtava, not drishyam. Truth is not the world. The person who is seeing is the truth. Whereas all our attention for all these years is in the world outside. And even now, it's there. And we want to become advanced, we're saying, spiritually. Where will you advance? You will advance in the world, but not in the spiritual side. Spiritual side, you will get worse, actually. The more attention falls on the world, your attention gets completely distributed in different ways and it's gone. All the energy is gone in that way. That's what happens. All the capacity, after all, the Shraddha in a person is also limited. It doesn't have a lot of our power, or Shraddha is very limited. And if that Shraddha is distributed in hundreds of things, and then we are trying to develop spiritually, it is not possible. It is not possible. So that is why Krishna is saying here that till you come from the world to the person who is seeing, drashtava, it has to come first. So from the world, it should come to the, from there, it has to come here to inside. And otherwise, just like, you know, this silver is mistakenly taken sometimes. There is a kind, I don't know what's the English word for that. There's a thing which is falsely, it represents silver like thing. I don't know what the English word for that. Something, this is, I don't know, they dig it out from the earth, I think. It has got some silver-like appearance and it is misunderstood as silver. Yeah. Anyway, it's not important. Example is this. Similarly, it's misunderstood. Similarly, the soul is misunderstood as body, mind, intelligence and all that. That's a misunderstanding, actually, what has happened due to our ignorance. Ajnanam, Krishna says here, as Ajnanam. And due to that, that Ajnanam in an enlarged form, expanded form, is this creation. That Ajnanam in me, instead of my identification with the soul, mistakenly I have thought I am this body, mind, senses, intelligence, ego, everything. The result of that is my ignorance has expanded, and this expanded ignorance is this creation, what is known as this world. Difficult, huh? It's difficult to understand that, but it is the truth. Upanishads are saying to us. Shruti is talking to us from a very, very subtle level. Unless we have that Shraddha and we have that Prajna Shuddhi, purity inside, these things, this is why, first of all, we begin spiritual life, intense sadhana helps. Lot of sadhana necessary to cool down this chitavritti inside. We carry all the garbage plus a scientific mind behind us, and then we want to get to know the truth. And that is not possible. That is not possible. So this is what it is say here, that once you have known this, just like when you have found that material is not silver, Or when you've seen the proper silver, you have lost your ignorance on the other thing, what you thought that it was silver. Similarly, once you have known the soul, once you have known, realized the soul, this ignorance, what was in you, which has covered you in the form of body, mind, intelligence, ego, all these things will disappear. That is why a liberated person, what did I say yesterday also? Dehastobi na dehastha. He thinks that there is no body. Liberated state is like that. For us, when we look at him, he has got a body. But for him, there is no body on his own. He doesn't know that there is a body around him. There's a body around him. That stage, it's a very higher state, of course. That, remember that Sadashiva Brahmendra story? That's the same example. He was wandering around completely naked. Completely naked. He's not conscious of that. Sudev Goswami came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam completely naked. Completely naked, he came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was not aware that he had a body there. Just see that state. So high, from there he is speaking. So body is ignorance. Ajnanam. Ajnanam is body. We are accepting it because we are in there, in that, right in the middle of that. That ajnanam. So when these things are spoken by Shruti, Upanishads, there is no other way except to accept that. This is agamam pratyaksham. So this was a anumanam. Anumanam means a comparison given here. Just like the silver was misunderstood in that particular thing when we saw on the earth. Similarly, this, when the misunderstanding gone away, you started realizing it's not silver. The proper silver is something different. Similarly, when the identification is with the body and the mind and the intelligence and ego, when we lose that and we start seeing the truth, the soul, realize the self, then this whole thing, what we thought as we are, will completely disappear from us. And the moment you lose your identity with the body, mind, intelligence and ego, it will not be existing for you anymore. It doesn't exist for you anymore. Physically, when somebody is looking at you, it's there. But for you, it doesn't exist. For you, it doesn't exist. Very advanced people, they have, when they have fallen sick, I mentioned also before, people will go and tell him, oh, how sad, you practice spiritual life, whole life, and you are suffering like this. You got cancer, you got diabetes. Why did you get this? In other words, they are trying to think that in this way. They were thinking that by practicing spiritual life, you won't get cancer or you won't get diabetes. But that person knows very well, cancer is not in me, it is in the body. He has already reached that state. He has escaped from the body, but we are not seeing that he has escaped from the body. That's the problem. So we keep lamenting. There's so many times this has happened. All great, great spiritually powerful personalities, they all got sickness at the time of death. Various kinds of sickness. Due to whatever reasons, it's prarabdham. Till prarabdham, they are concerned, prarabdham is finished, the body will go. If it is there, still. Highly advanced people, for them, body doesn't exist. But there are different states also. Some people are in this world who never took care of the body, but body has got become very sick. And they know very well, even if you take care of the body, still it will come when it has to come. It will do its business and go. So that state, I'm saying. And then there are people who have gone to them for spiritual advancement, and in their association they made some development spiritually, but when they observed that he is also getting sick, these people are saying, making the statement, why did you get sick? How sad it is, whole lifetime he has lived, such a nice devotee, he got sick, and then we should all pray for him, and we will start another movement, praying movement, and arrange all the doctors for him in this world. All the medical facilities. All this is no meaning. As far as he is concerned, he has already left his body. Like Parikshit said, he's already left his body and gone. Tatshaka can come do what he wants, he says, with the body. I'm not there anymore. Is it not? So that is spiritual life. That is spiritual realization. Not staying inside the body and getting all the best medical treatment and saying that I'm making progress in spiritual life. That's not a very nice sign of spiritual life in that sense. So, agamam, pratyaksham, anumanam, and great realized souls, they help speak aidihyam, anumanam. So, it is four kinds of pramanam, authority, Krishna has spoken, and they are all saying this one thing, There is no reality in this world. There is no reality in this world. So, if you have known that, if you have accepted that, what is the benefit from that? From all kinds of bodily happiness, bodily enjoyment, sense gratification, you will become detached. That is the benefit from that. If you accept this knowledge of the Vedic conclusions, that Jagat is mithya, it is false, the benefit from that is, for a thoughtful person, one who has got discrimination, he will start thinking that this is not a reality, and it will naturally create a certain degree of detachment inside. Vairagyam will happen inside. So, so in Vedam, there is what is known as Karmagandam, isn't it? Karmagandam is there, and most of the Vedam is Karmagandam. Karmagandam means what? Performing sacrifices. Like there are so many sacrifices mentioned. You can see Prajina Barhis was performing sacrifices. Prithu Maharaj was performing sacrifices. You'll see in the Bhagavatam so many sacrifices mentioned. Yudhishthira Maharaj performed sacrifices. Rajasuyam, isn't it? So, now and then you will see in the Bhagavatam sacrifices mentioned. Nanda Maharaj performed sacrifices. Gosavam it is called in the Bhagavatam. That means for the... And then he also performed the sacrifice for Govardhanam. After Krishna told him to perform for Govardhanam. Previously he was offering it to Indra. Indrayagam it was. Which later on became Govardhanayagam. Isn't it? And Krishna insisted that it should be offered to Govardhanam. And he changed to Govardhanam from Indra. So sacrifices is an important part of the Karmagandam. Karmagandam explains that. Purpose of all that Karmagandam is that with that Karmagandam, if it is executed, you can go right up to Brahmalokam. You can go into Brahmalokam. Up to Brahmalokam, you can travel. That means all the higher planets, Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tavolokam, Surgalokam, all other higher planets, you can enter there and live there for a long period of time. That is the, and the level of enjoyment or happiness, material happiness, is far, far higher than what is available in this world. What is another? So, but Krishna's point here is that in Puranas you find a lot of stories about the high level of material happiness in the demigods planet, Maharlokam, Janalokam, all these places, high level of happiness is there, isn't it? Now, to get us out from there, our attraction for those places, this statement will help. We are finding it difficult to give up our attraction in this world. What to talk about the other world? But Nachiketas was able to do that. Did you not? Nachiketas was tempted not only with the attraction in this world, but even on the higher planets, heavenly planets. Nachiketas said no. But if you want to have that kind of vairagyam, detachment inside, renunciation inside, Shraddha in the spiritual topic, in spiritual realization, has to be so strong. Otherwise it won't happen. The Shraddha, that is where Shraddha comes. The Shraddha has to be so good that your attraction for this world goes away and your attraction for the higher planets goes away as well. Because Vedam is also giving us an opportunity through Karmakandam to go to the higher planets to enjoy. Higher planets to enjoy. Prajina Barhis was planning that to do. So, Krishna's point here is, if you accept the authority of the Shruti, Shruti's acceptance of authority is such that if you understand this, including the higher planets are subject to change, like the earthly planet, even the happiness there is also temporary, like in the earthly planet, one should be able to reject the happiness of this world, including the happiness of the higher planets. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. So that purpose of giving this instruction to us from Upanishad says, to take our attention away from the world, away from the heavenly planets, but to bring the attention towards the
soul.
Towards the soul. That is why, in order to do that to happen, all bodily happiness, what we are going to get from this world or from the higher planets, desire must go from inside. And it is not easy to give up the desire, bodily happiness. Now you know why we say that only when you are in distress, you will take spiritual life seriously. If everything is very comfortable in life, nice house, nice family life, nice health and plenty of wealth, and you talk to him about all these things, he will say it is all fiction. For him, it's a fiction at that time. He cannot accept that. Why? Because there is not sufficient realization, depth inside, understanding that this world is temporary. For him, the world is real because he's enjoying it, isn't it? So long, that is why distress helps. Krishna is saying that, isn't it? Soyam Krishna Vadaro Jayaditava Vibhom Yatra Sangirtana Arde Sneha Dveshanuragai Prabhridibi Adule Ashrame Yogabe Dehi. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this Krishna Vadaram. Krishna's appearance here was such Jayaditava Vibhom, where Krishna has, what has he done? Through so many emotions, they managed to go to Krishna. Is it not? Through Kamsa hated Krishna, feared Krishna. Shishupala hated Krishna. Gopis, they had blind love for Krishna. And Pandavas, they loved Krishna. Bhakti. And in different ways, it mentions in the Bhagavatam, Gopya kamad bhayat kamsa deshe chaityadayo nrupa sambandho vrishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. In the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi says to Rajasuyam sacrifice, to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says this. So there, through all these different emotions, they are all emotions, isn't it? Sneha dvesha anuragehi, sneham love, dvesham hate, and anuragam attachment. All these processes, gopis followed anuragam. Anuragam is their process. Shishupala followed dvesham, hate. Shishupala hated Krishna. Kamsa followed through fear. So all these things are there in their times. This has helped them to go back to Krishna. But our problem, we have not loved this. We have no hate also towards Krishna. We don't have love also towards Krishna. This is the problem, isn't it? No connection between Krishna and us. That is our problem. And we have no fear also for Krishna. We have no hate also for Krishna. And we have no, so to say, anuragam for Krishna. Nothing. That's our unfortunate situation. That's why the only thing in abundance in Kali Yugam, Ashramai Yoga Vedehi Arthim Tirtha Samaswam Amrita Padamagu Sarvada Sarvalogehi. There is a lot, one thing that is available in plenty in Kali. Because Krishna is not there now to relate with anyone. What is that? It's only one thing. Plenty of distress. Dukkha. That Krishna has given us. Plenty. Kali Yugam, that is the beauty. It is because of that only we are willing to hear about Krishna. Because there is dukkham inside. Somewhere inside we are conscious that all this is meaningless at the end. That understanding is there. Everybody has to some extent. All this is not making any sense. Morning to night, running around here, there, to struggling in this world. And you try to plug one hole, another plug opens up. Another hole opens up. Like this, meaningless endeavor. Meaningless endeavor. So, artim tirtha samastam amrita padamagu sarvada sarvalogehi. Krishna says here, that if one feels that amount of distress inside, direct that distress towards Krishna. Like gopis directed their anuragam towards Krishna, kamam towards Krishna. Shishupala directed his hate towards Krishna. And Kamsa directed his fear towards Krishna. And this dukkham, distress is also another emotion like that. Like kamam, krodham, anger, fear, like that. It's another emotion is dukkham. So,
artim tirta samastha mamrita padamagu sarvada sarvalogehi.
Krishna has given us all an opportunity. When there is distress, direct it towards Krishna.
Hatshitva vishwartha shandim.
Then only when shandi comes there, when that distress, Krishna takes it away.
Bhakti purtei jabu yaham.
Bhakti will come there. Bhakti will come to that heart. Not otherwise. Otherwise there is no possibility. Preaching and all, you can say so many. People think that by preaching everything happens in spiritual life. No, but not by preaching. Even who comes to spiritual life, there is distress inside. That is why they come to spiritual life. We may admit it or not, that's another thing. Sometimes people say, oh, I was looking for the absolute truth. And one day some devotee gave me a book. I mean, it is very difficult to digest that, because you won't look for absolute truth unless you have distress inside. This is the principle. That's the way material nature works. Maya puts us into that, corner us in that way. She'll force you to look for the truth. And when that truth inquiry starts, that is where it happens. That's why. So, okay, anyway, when that distress comes, you should take that opportunity straight away. That is intelligence. If a distress comes in life at any time, utilize that opportunity to become Krishna conscious, because it will work at that time. It won't work when you are in the best of your times in material life. Whenever there is any serious distress comes in life, you should take advantage of it straight away. That's a time to exit out from here, from the material life. So similarly, through the Jnana Margam, they take into all this, into account while instructing, because otherwise it is not possible to take interest in spiritual life when the body senses are dictating sense enjoyment so forcefully. So first of all, Vairagyam must come. Vairagyam must come. Had enough of this world, had enough of all what's going on here. That won't come very easily. But distress can help at that stage to come to that state of consciousciousness. Distress can help. And if you take advantage of that, of the knowledge in the Bhagavadam, Krishna is telling us that Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. That truth is only the soul. Satya, Asatya, all this teaching in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, if you take it on board, at that time, it will have its effect. It will have its effect. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, so once you have understood that all the sense gratification in this world and in the higher planets is also temporary, that is also not worthwhile pursuing, then vigalpa sa virajyate, that is what that word is talking about. You see that last two words? Vigalpa sa virajyate. All vigalpam will leave you. These are all vigalpam. Material world is a vigalpam. The heavenly planets are a vigalpam. Body is a vigalpam. All these foolish understanding, foolish thoughts in our head, that there is happiness here, that there is happiness in the heavenly planets, there is happiness in so many nice things in this world. Krishna says they are all nothing but vigalpam. Vigalpad sa virajyade, Krishna says there, isn't it? Pramaneshu anavastad vigalpad virajyade, vigalpad sa virajyade. So, shruti pratyaksham aidikyam anumanam chatushtayam pramaneshu anavastad anavastanad vigalpad sa virajyade. There is no other way. There is no shortcut in all these things. We just have to accept what Krishna is saying. We have to completely follow through the process. There is no other way. Sometimes when Krishna is merciful, he gives us some very good kick in this world. Something strong to remind us every now and then. It always happens. If you observe people carefully, you will notice that. When that comes, a powerful boot from Krishna in some form. First he sends, as we say, first he sends you a text message. Then he sends you an email. And then he gives you a phone call. And last thing is a get out from here. I've told you so many times, you didn't take my message seriously. That's the message. So, these are, Krishna's words are there, message is there, and Krishna sometimes gives you a favorable favorable situation for that, which is distress. Which is distress, distressful situation. That is where one should direct the attention towards the soul. That will have its impact, not by other means. We can do other things, not that everything is wrong. For example, preaching and distributing and all. But it will all go through this, it will go through the other one. It won't stay. It won't stay. It won't stay. So to say that the material world is false, it's not a philosophy. You have to know that also. People say, oh, is that your philosophy, they say. It's not a philosophy. Philosophy, only that our attention should not go there. Even if it is real or false, what does it matter to you? This world, whether it's real or false, what does it matter? The idea is that your attention should not go there. That's more important. It may last for some time, but through anumanam, pratyaksham, anumanam, shruti, and aidihyam, it's telling us the world is temporary, world is false, not a reality. If you can't accept it, doesn't matter. Suppose sometimes people have difficulty in accepting that you tell some people world is false, they'll beat you up. They'll say, they'll ask some awkward questions. Wouldn't they? They'll say, suppose if I give you a good punch, it's false. Is your body false? They'll say to you. They'll ask such questions. So we have to remember this, in what context it's spoken. Krishna's point is this. Attention should go away from this world. That is more important in order to fall, attention to fall on the soul. So that is why they are all vigalpam. The world is a vigalpam in our spiritual life. It's nothing but a vigalpam. Completely distracts our attention on the soul, and that is why we have no time for spiritual life. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.